Blog Talk Radio.
The quickest intro known to man. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Blue Shirt Banner Radio. I am Eddie the Mouth Geik, and of course I'll be joined in a few seconds by Jimmy the Jim Schmiedeberg, who we both run this colossal empire we call Blue Shirt Banter Radio, our empire to do as we see fit. And tonight, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, we have a great guest. We have Mike Zippo, who is running the Fire Glen Sather Rally. And I can't wait, and I know Jim can't wait to get the lowdown about how this rally, how he came up with the idea and how it's going to be organized, and it's going to be fantastic. Now, with that said, there's a lot of things to talk about tonight. We also have the effects, the residual effects, the first game with Jokinen and Prust in the lineup. Like to get people's view on that. Me and Jim are interested in that. We want to talk about that. We also want to talk about this. Some Ranger fans are talking about a speculative deal still going with the Kovalchuk rumors. As well as we have a little bit, we discussed a little bit of it on the show yesterday. Kind of a rumor, kind of a thing that I kind of see a lot of credence in, and I'm going to elaborate a little later. And I guess I just really, before I bring Jim in here, I wanted to thank everybody. I got a little time yesterday to talk about it. The people that came down to the VFW show, the hockey card show that I was at, and took the time to speak with me, we really had a great time. I got to talk to Peter and his son Michael, who are giant Ranger fans and season ticket holders. Michael is an Avery fan, and Peter's favorite player is Eddie Johnstone, and we had Zach came down, who's Ranger dude in the chat room. Zach is about as frenetic as a Ranger fan as you're going to meet in person. He's wired. And I talk seriously for 4 hours straight. I was hoarse. And I ate like a horse afterwards. But I was hoarse after that. And I just want to thank the Ranger fans coming down. My wife was like, wow, people do know you. And I'm scheduling another show in Brooklyn, in Crooklyn, as they say, on March 14th, a week after the rally. If I'm not out of jail by then, I probably won't make it. Let's hope I'm out of jail by then. And now, without further ado, my partner in crime, I think one of the best guys in the world, and the only guy I'd like to share the radio with other than Mandar or High C, Mr. Jim Schmiedeberg. How are you, Jimmy?
I'm good. Good evening, everyone. Since you're talking about your appearance on Sunday and thanking everyone, I didn't get a chance to thank everybody that came out and saw us on Saturday in Phoenix. We had a lot of fun. I'd say we got about a total of maybe 20 Ranger fans that came and saw us. It was and everybody, you know, we gave everybody, or as many of them as we could, a chance to take part in the show, which was a lot of fun. They all enjoyed it. And, you know, we're spreading the word. And we had a good time. Next year, I'm going to try and work on it a little differently, see if I can get us a little better spot, because there were thousands of Ranger fans at that game Saturday night that we just couldn't get close to. And I think that would have been really something if we could have accomplished that. If you watched that Phoenix game the other night, when the Rangers scored their two goals towards the end of the game there, and when they decided to play hockey, those two goals were scored at the end of the ice that I was sitting in, and that's where most of the Ranger fans were, for whatever reason. That's where they all just seemed to be, was at that end of the ice. And from what I heard, people that watched on TV said it sounded pretty loud when the Rangers scored, because I guess that's why. You know, that was that end of the ice where the Rangers scored their two goals, and for whatever reason, that's where the Ranger fans wound up. So that was pretty cool. It was a good night, and they did the before the game, the Coyotes put Teppo Newman into their Ring of Honor. They had a real nice ceremony for him.
How long did that ceremony go on? I mean, the game got delayed.
It wasn't long. It certainly wasn't like a Madison Square Garden production. You know, I mean, if they retire a number and it takes 3 hours, you got to bring out everybody from Harry Howell to Theo Fleury to talk about him and give a speech and give a present and presentations and keys to the city boat rides on the Staten Island Ferry and everything. It was only about 15 minutes long. It wasn't bad. It was nice. I'll tell you, my brother and I and my buddy Chuck, who went to the game with us, three Ranger fans, and we have, like I said, I used to follow the Coyotes when I lived out here before. We were making more noise for Teppo Newman than the Coyote fans were. We gave a standing ovation, and it was nice. And Don Maloney came out. We gave him a nice round of applause for being an ex-Ranger. And so it was a nice little ceremony. It was something cool to see. And my only bitch about it was that they didn't, when usually you retire a player's number, certainly we've seen the Rangers do several times. You see other teams do it. And they bring back other players who the guy played with. And the Coyotes didn't do that. There wasn't, I thought maybe Jeremy Roenick would show up, or they could have worked something out and had Tkachuk there or Hobby Boulin, right, or, a couple of the other guys. There were no players that he played with. That was about the only thing I thought they messed up on. But other than that, it was a nice little ceremony, and they had a nice video montage of his career, and then they had the ring around the arena. They pulled the cover off, and he's up there next to Bobby Hull and I want to say Howard Chuck, but he's the first one that was a Phoenix Coyote. The other ones are in the Ring of Honor as Winnipeg Jets. So it was kind of cool.
Right.
So anyway.
So I know you were, you had that full experience. And last night we had that remote with Fred the Grumpwad Nicky from the Staples Center and him getting searched. And it was unbelievable. We'll get these remotes there. Hysterical. And it just shows you, Ranger fans are all over the place. Tonight we have a guest tonight. Like I said in the opening, Mike Zippo, who's he's leading the charge in a little bit of a Ranger fan rebellion, and I got to admire it, And this is going to be the fans in the New York metropolitan area. I don't know if people are flying out for this rally on March 7th on the Garden Steps. That we'll be talking to Mike in a little bit. I just wanted to kind of regress here and talk a little about the VFW thing, and I think I mentioned this to you a little bit. A gentleman came up to me and he said, I don't go to the games more, but my son is a season ticket holder, and he has his son's little baby, who's 2 years old, also goes to the games, and he is known as Ranger Baby, and he knows the goal song, he knows a couple other things. So I told the gentleman, listen, I want Ranger Baby on Blue Shirt Banner Radio. We must have Blue Shirt, we must have Ranger Baby to make his debut. And the guy said, sure, and I gave him the address, and hopefully I hear from him so we can have Ranger Baby, the exclusive Ranger Baby interview.
Ranger Baby.
I have to tell you, with our budget, we can only afford two-year-olds. Actually, this show is run by two-year-olds.
Pretty much.
So let's get into it. Let's talk turkey. Let's get down to brass tacks, as we say, as I say, we all say around here. And what were your impressions of Jokinen last night, and as well as the Pruss?
Look, they still can't score goals. I say the trade was a bust. Get rid of them.
Wow. So you're going to be a Nelly
negative?
Just kidding.
I'm just kidding.
I know.
We said it last night. He doesn't solve all their problems, but he can hopefully provide a spark along the way. We'll see what happens. Give it a few games and see if he can develop a little chemistry. They never seem to play very well when they go to LA. last night was no exception. So, we'll see what happens. They come home tomorrow night for the Caps.
I didn't think they played horrible. The Kings are a good team. You know what killed them was that goal by Kopitar. That shorthanded goal is a killer late in the period. That just can't happen. And Tortorella got caught with two forwards out there. And, I don't want to, I guess I do in a way. I mean, criticize Tortorella. But what is the – I don't understand now. Let me just – again, when I say I don't understand, maybe you guys can clarify in the chat room or the core was or you even, Jim, could they just got a guy, Olli Jokinen, the night before he was with Calgary, all right? And I know he plays the point with Calgary, but why did they have two forwards out there, one being Chris Drury, and we all know what a power play demon he is, and then you have a new guy who doesn't know anybody on the team from Adam as your other power play point guy. Now, I can see it once he gets to know the players, but to have two forwards out there just for the sake of kind of showcasing that Jokinen can play the point, because it doesn't make sense. He's, and first of all, playing two forwards at defense as risky as it is. I mean, we're not talking like Korea and, Crosby playing the point here. We're talking Drury and Jokinen. And Jokinen does. I mean, doesn't that seem strange to you? And he really didn't get criticized too much for that. And that's what I first would have went after. Because that was the game as far as I was concerned. We know shorthanded goals are game changes. Late in the period, they're even crazier game changes. Wouldn't you agree? I mean, where do you feel? Where do you go on that?
Yeah, well, I mean, over the years, we've seen the Rangers get bit in the ass a couple of times when they've put the forwards back there on the points.
Hey, ho, with the language here. I'm sorry.
Ass? Are we?
Hey,
are we
ho,
with
the language here.
We scaling it back that bad? What are we owned by Clear Channel? Taking us off the air at 28 cities. Anyway. We've seen that happen to him, a few times, and unfortunately, it happened again. Why don't we're going to have Mike Zippo in just a little while, but why don't we got a phone call on the line already, and I don't know who this is. Should we bring him in?
Bring him in!
All right, 516-423, you're on Blue Shirt Banner Radio with Jim and Eddie. Who's this? He hung up. He was on hold for 10 minutes, and then I put him on, and he hangs up.
Sometimes you want to go for it and you chicken out in the last second. That's what happens.
What's to be afraid of with this show?
Really, give out the number. I think we had a couple concerns when I talked to some of the players that we don't give the number out enough, and I'm going to start doing that as well. I could actually
646. 646-478-4692. As Chris Russo used to say, that is your two-way Ranger Talk telephone number. Oh, he didn't say Ranger Talk. He didn't know it. He didn't know his puck from his Sputnik.
That's right.
So, as Emil Francis said to us last night.
Emil was just great. And that was something. So let me...
Let me ask you one question about Emil Francis. We were almost wrapping it up with him, and he said, I got to put the phone down. Somebody's at the door. I was worried. Who the hell's knocking on Emil Francis's door at 10 o'clock at night? The man lives in South Florida.
Not sure. Everybody's asleep. I don't know.
I was worried.
Maybe it was Bill Torrey. He left his bow tie in his house.
Is it Harry Sinden from Boston that he said he plays golf with too now?
Yeah, that's what Harry used to hate him back in the day. I guess my question, I don't know if it was a question. Well, the people got here early, and I appreciate it, and we appreciate everybody who's here. I want to just give you a little bit of a tidbit. And, you know, we certainly don't want to become one of rumor mongers. But now with the acquisition of Brandon Prust, I think we can go ahead and at least speculate keenly on the future of Donald Brashear. Now, we all know Donald is old and tired and washed up, and at this point probably couldn't beat me up, which is saying something, ladies and gentlemen. We have heard through the grapevine, through the great people that call here, that Donald perhaps in the future may be loaned to the KHL, loaned. So that means that his contract will still stay on the books. But that is a strong possibility, as well as the possibility of him going to Washington, back to the Capitals. Alex Ovechkin loves the big rig, loves Brashear, and he feels that Washington has been getting a little bit overrun of late. So Brashear, that would be great if the Capitals took him back. And we were off the hook for that nonsensical contract, because right now Prust filled that role.
Well, I gotta tell you, Alex Ovechkin, we know he listens to this show. And if he thinks Donald Brashear is the cure to his problems, and one shift a game that he plays and the one fight a month is gonna stop them from getting pushed around, Alex Ovechkin is an idiot. Or as you would say, you're off your bean.
Are you off your bean? I mean, seriously, though, but that would be great. We get rid of a guy who's just vilified here and just not producing. And, you know, for him on that team, all it takes is one shift. I mean, look what happened with Betts. He barely played, and then he just took Betts out. Maybe that's the kind of guy they like in Washington. And if he goes back to the Caps, I would be ecstatic. And, you know, and this Prust kid looked like a goer. He came in, he's as advertised. He went last night against Siegel. He did pretty good against Bugsy Siegel. And he's a guy that he was interviewed between periods by, what's that guy, John Monotone? John Missing a Gianone? What's that guy's name? Well, he was interviewed by that vanilla announcer there, and he said, "I'm here to stick up for teammates, and he's here to fight, and he knows his work, and he's missing a lot of teeth, which I like. So Brandon Prust, you're the man, and you can't carry a Voros, a Prust, and a Brashear, and I just think Prust is going to stay with the big club. And a Brashear, again, he's learning his Russian, that's what I hear. So it could be a KHL time, or it could be learning his Russian so him and Ovechkin can talk a little bit better. I don't know, but or the Capitals. So that's what I'm hearing. I also have another rumor that I can substantiate, but I heard from a pretty good source. Now, John Tortorella, and I haven't told you this yet. Well, maybe I have, but that John Tortorella is losing it with the young players. That he is actually losing, but he has lost the young players. The young players have are kind of staging a revolt, and I could see a little bit of that with the defense, because Delzato got benched. And it deservedly so. I mean, you know, he hasn't been playing the greatest defense lately. I mean, Gilroy can't be happy what's going on with him. So I heard from, a friend of a friend that somehow the Tortorella is having some problems with the young guys on the team.
Interesting. Well, as far as Brashear going to the KHL, we here at Blue Shirt Banner Radio wish him das Vidania.
That's for Danya and Chow.
What's Russian for happy trails?
I don't know. We'll have to ask Chad Kreider. Doesn't he take Russian?
That's right. Yeah,
Chris
Kreider. We'll ask...
Chad Kreider. Chris Kreider. Chad. Oh, my God, Chad, I'm on. So, anyway, so that's what I got. I don't know, the Rangers again last night. Same old story. You know, just no offense. And then Gavrik scores late. Guy's just incredible. I mean, and, you know, I don't know. You know, what's the solution? You got to score. And it looks like to me that Jokinen is more of a guy that is a gunner rather than a guy that is a setup guy for Gavrik. So I think he should be moved off that first line. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I agree. But put him maybe back on the second line and see what happens.
Yeah. I'm telling you, are you multitasking?
I was trying to batten down my hatches here a little bit. I just kind of glanced up and saw we got a bit of a storm rolling in, and I had to secure things where I am. So I apologize for that.
They have storms in Arizona?
Oh yeah, winter time. Well, and summertime too. We get what the monsoon season they call it. Not a lot of rain in the summertime, but you do get dust storms, and it's a lot of fun. Turns your car brown. You know, you were talking about John Giannone, and I got a little. I thought this was kind of pissed me off. You know, they mentioned last night during the Ranger broadcast that Howie Rose has been sick, right? So
okay.
Obviously he's not doing the Islander broadcasts. So you know who they have filling
serious?
In for?
Is he seriously sick? Like.
His health isn't, something wrong with him, whatever. I guess he's on the mend, but he's not doing the Islander broadcast right now. So the other night when I turned on the Islander game the other night, you know who they had filling in for Howie Rose? Kenny Albert.
Jake McNutt.
Kenny Albert. Why is Kenny Albert able to fill in for Howie Rose, but he can't fill in for Sam Rosen? Why do we get stuck with Giannone?
Because Giannone is a great announcer.
He's terrible. The city of brotherly shuffle. I will never forgive him for that statement. It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard anybody say on TV.
Explain to the people that one.
Well, it was a couple weeks ago when the Rangers were in Philly playing that game, and they were having the blizzard in the Northeast, and there were about 3,000 people in the Wachovia Center, and about 10 times they showed a maintenance crew shoveling outside the Wachovia Center, and John Giannone was doing the game that day because Sam was traveling to do Fox football, and he says, the city of brotherly shovel, and I just thought that was one of the dumbest things I've ever heard anybody say, ever.
Yeah, and he's just trying to be funny, and it's just bad.
And he's not.
Bad. The whole broadcast sucks. Again, I mean,
but why,
we'll talk about this
why does John Giannone cover for Sam Rosen and Kenny Albert covers? I mean, how many Ranger guys have to go do friggin' Islander games?
Well, they're all part of the same team. Come on, let's face it.
That's another thing.
I mean,
and another thing, Vonnegut.
I guess I do mind him. He's on with that. On the doorstep. I was to get him on. Yeah, Giannone, it's funny. I was at that show, and some guy was like, I'm second cousins to John Giannone. And I was like, that's like being second cousins to me. Who cares? Who gives a rat? Who gives a rat as far as I'm concerned? So I saw that Paulie D was on that tweet of the Twitter going off saying, you know, if we fire Sather, because, you know, we were promoting the program tonight, who are you going to get? Who are you going to get to replace? Because, you know, obviously him and Kotze have come up with that there's nobody that can replace the irreplaceable Glenn Sather.
Yeah,
Ben
I heard them talking about that the other
tonight.
Night.
Yeah,
yeah,
Ken
I
Hitchcock
saw that.
Got fired. I'll take Ken Hitchcock. I'll take Alfred Hitchcock. I mean, I'll take anybody other than that senile old bastard. I mean, he doesn't know what year it is. I mean, he might be trading soon for Pecorata Kelly Ale. Who knows? There's a name. But
Link Gates.
Linkgate. You love Linkgate. And what is you
love Linkgate.
I want to ask you, maybe you know this.
All right.
What about, I hear a lot about Garnett Exelby. Can somebody tell me what Garnett Exelby is all about and why we want him so bad?
I'll tell you who's been flying that banner is DB Maven, and he's not here right now. So I tell you what, why don't we shelve the Exelby talk until hopefully he shows up, and then he can he's put a couple of posts up on Blue Shirt Banter about Garnett Exelby. So maybe if DB stops in tonight, we can ask him about it, and he can enlighten you because, well, he is the voice of reason.
I don't know. His name's going to be changing. He's not going to be called, I don't know, the Exelby Express. I mean, he just can't stop talking about Garnett. Garnett. I haven't heard it since Garnett Bailey. That's the only Garnett I've ever seen in hockey. Garnett. Anyway, the trade, it was the same old, and the whole bit and the whole thing. So if we could... You know, hopefully we can get this thing rolling. But you know what? Let me ask you this question, and I want to pose this question to everybody. And I saw this on the HF boards today. And I want everybody's opinion in the chat room. So, what? No.
The HF boards.
By
the way, we got a call on the switchboard, and we got two calls on the switchboard. I have a feeling one of them might be Fred DeGrump.
All right.
Who's probably still trying to get out of the Staples Center with his veggie burger.
Yeah. Well, Fred.
All right. I want to take this other call first because this is South Florida call, and I have a feeling I know who this might be. Let's see who this is. 786-704, you're on Blue Shirt Banner Radio with Jim and Eddie. Who is this?
Hey, Jim.
That's who I thought it was. Bob from Miami makes his triumphant return to the show.
I know, Bob.
How you doing, Bob?
You know, I'm doing not good as I would like between the Giants, the Rangers, the Knicks, and the Mets. This is a winter of discontent, to say the least.
You got that right.
And I will say that, you know, before the season started, everyone had their opinion of what was going to happen, what would upside, downside. It's unbelievable how everyone's downside, with the exception of Gibby and Delzato, came through. I mean, Teller has he's not the right coach.
Bob, I hate to cut you off, but your phone is breaking up really, really bad.
All right.
Maybe you can hang up and call us back from another number or see if you get a better signal and call us back.
I can catch you again. I don't know. That computer grade telephone. It, so that sometimes doesn't work too well. All right. No problem. It's a pleasure to hear you guys. Keep up the good work. Catch you later.
Thanks,
Bob. Take care,
Bob. Try us back.
Bye-bye.
All right. The hell? Well, I don't know. I have no idea what that was. I have no idea.
Like the dog in town. What the heck was that?
The Dream Academy, live on Blue Shirt Banner
Dream
Radio,
Academy.
Ladies and gentlemen. I don't
What's
know if that?
That
was if that was Bob as he was hanging up or what, but I certainly do not have the Dream Academy on the switchboard, whatever the hell that was. Mandar even called Life in a Northern Town. There you go, Mandar.
Good job.
All right, we got the 516 number back. Let's see who this is. Hold on. Let's see. Hold on. I got switchboard problems now.
I
think.
Dream Academy. What was that?
I know. It's
we got
crazy
and block. Crazy going nuts.
Hold on. All right, I got a switchboard issue here. Hold on.
All right. Well, can I pose my question while you sort this internet nonsense out?
Yeah.
God.
Go ahead.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Hello?
I wanted to say,
Yay!
Who is this?
I want to request a song.
What?
Who is this?
Yeah! I want to request a song.
You want to request a song? Okay. What song would you like to hear? What are we, Z100 all of a sudden, ladies and gentlemen?
WNBC coming at you live from
what kind of song would you like to hear?
Church Rock. You've got Howard and Fred on the air, and we're going to play a song for you coming up. What do you want to hear?
Britney Spears.
You want to hear Britney Spears?
Yeah.
All right. Coming right
you
at
waited.
You.
You waited on hold 15 minutes to ask to do that. Come on.
Yeah.
Come on. Next time you make a prank, make it good.
Yeah, make
Aww.
It good.
In my day, we pranked people. We pranked them with solid comedy. All right.
Okay.
This
All right. And I'm still have it switched up. There we go. All right. We got the switchboard back now. We do 1 3-hour show and the whole thing goes to hell. I mean, it's like, you know, ever since Emil Francis hung up the phone last night, nothing's been right in this world. All right. Let's try this. You want to see if this is Fred the Grump?
Yeah, we'll talk to Fred for a while.
All right. I don't know who this is. 111, you're on Blue Shirt Banner Radio with Jim and Eddie. Who's this?
Okay.
Nobody.
Somebody's watching Lassie, it seems.
Well, 66, WNBC, coming at you from 30 Rock.
All right. Now, can I ask my question here? Let me ask my question.
Wait, I was going to play a Hall & Oates tune. Wait.
Oh,
sorry. Go right ahead.
Okay. This is a question to everybody in the chat room and everybody listening out there listening to Lassie and making pranks and all that. At this point in time, do you think our New York Rangers make the playoffs? My answer is no. They just don't put together enough wins, enough convincing wins, to give me any faith that they are going to make the playoffs. I want them to make the playoffs. I am rooting. But if I have to be an unbiased assessor of this team, they are not making the playoffs.
You know, it's a good question. It really is. And I have reasons to agree with you and reasons to disagree with you. Reason to disagree with you is because it's, you know, I'm worried, you know, and we've said this before, I'm worried that they're going to make stupid moves just to get, you know, to make that frantic rush to get the eighth seed to get a couple of more home games in the playoffs. So, you know, on that side, I say yes. The other thing that tells me that they might make the playoffs is the Eastern Conference is bad. I mean, right now, you got three or four really good teams and the rest of it is just bad. I mean, the Rangers went from fifth to 13th to back to seventh in a matter of a couple of days. I mean, everybody's at like 55 points or 58 points. And, you know, in my heart of hearts, I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. And my head also says that would not be the worst thing that's ever happened to them. But, of course, I want them to make the playoffs. But, no, I think my ultimate answer, you put a gun to my head, no, they don't make the playoffs. And the switchboard just went crazy with three more calls.
Bring them in.
Well, I think what time are we supposed to have Mike? 8:30?
No, I said 9 o'clock. So Mike is in the chat room, and I think he's holding the fort down here. So
that's not Mike.
We're good.
All right, let's. I think we got Bob.
Yeah, Mike's number.
All right.
I got Mike's
Bob, are you there?
Yes, it's me again. Is he better?
All right. No, you're still breaking up. Now, was that you with that crazy music when you hung up the phone?
No, I heard it on the internet. I have no idea what the hell that was.
Okay. Well, Bob, unfortunately, you're still breaking up really bad.
All right. We'll try it another day then because they're going to need better. All right. Thanks, guys. Just keep up. Bye-bye.
All right. Take care, Bob.
Bye.
Well, I got to tell you, that switchboard What's going on here?
I don't know what that. You know what I think? You know what I think might have happened is I think we had that idiot on the line, you know, who was trying to prank call us, and I think what happened was as I hung up with Bob, I tried to connect to them, and then the switchboard jammed, and I think that's where the music was coming from. I think it was from whoever that was. So, whatever. Anyway, who cares? James.
Yes, sir.
Are you there? James,
I'm here.
Good evening. Welcome to Blue Shirt Panda Radio. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you guys doing?
We're good. We're good.
Poor Bob, huh?
Yeah. Bob.
Poor Bob. That's
feels
all right.
Like the Rangers, man. No matter what the guy does, he can't get going here.
It's good to know Bob is still listening. So, we'll have another night. We'll get him on.
Sounds good. But we scored one spectacular goal last night. Huh? I was ready to start calling them the nothings because every time they say something, it's always and the Rangers nothing. You know, and we always score a goal at the end when you know. I mean, just about no time left when you barely have a chance to do anything. That's we score nothing.
Well, did you hear the question I posed, James?
No, I don't think I got it.
All right. Do you see the Rangers making the playoffs?
Man,
right now, unbiased.
Unbiased. If they do, they're just going to squeak by in eighth place, I think. I want them to make it, but I wouldn't sell the farm to try to make it. I wouldn't make any stupid deal to try to make it. I go with what we got right now. I mean, unless something really good comes along that you can't pass up and it's going to help for the future or help for next season, I wouldn't go and do anything particularly for this season only because we're not winning anything anyway. I mean, we're still a few guys away at least. And, you know, even if we, you know, they get in there just like the other years. We went around maybe, one and out, you know. So I don't see anything great happening. I mean, that's even if we get in. So I would just go, you know, what we got right now. And like I said, unless something good comes along, see what happens. I mean, that's all we can do. I mean, and plus with the Olympics coming up now, you know, the only other thing that can happen is maybe our fortunes will change after the Olympics. I mean, a few years ago when it was, we were on a big streak. We came back and we went down. Hopefully this year will be different.
Yeah, but the flip side of that is that Hank has played so much that by the time he gets back from the Olympics, you know, how much gas is he going to have in the tank?
Yeah, well, we have that what's his name, Johnson, right?
Yeah, Ocho Sim.
Yeah, so basically, I don't think we're going to make the playoffs, I guess. I guess that's a good statement there to make.
Yeah, I mean that's what the final answer is. I think it is. I mean, we only have Mandar saying we're going to get in, and you know, I think Mandar, you know, the world of his opinion, but how can you watch these games and think this is a team that can make the playoffs? And I noticed that the conference is really weak. We just don't win. We don't score. We don't win. So how do you make the playoffs that way?
Yeah, and we don't even win. We can't even get into overtime like we did. You know, at least, you know, sometimes we're making it to overtime. And, you know, last year, I know we won a lot of games in the shootout. And I think that was something that, you know, it was kind of like, you know, you see a win on there, but you know how easily you could have lost that game, you know, and even though we got those points. And this year, we're not even getting to those overtimes. We're just, like, losing it in the third period. Or actually, in the first period, we're losing it. We're not even scoring any goals. We don't even come out in the first period.
Right. And you see, like, we had those couple games where we got 8 and 5 or what goals with, but that – the Rangers don't score. It's not like they're losing 5-4 where you're in the game, you score some goals, something crazy can happen, and you win the game, steal a game. They don't score. They don't score. Gavrik is the only guy who could score.
What did they say? He scored 5 out of the last 6 goals or something like that over the last few games? It's ridiculous.
Come on.
Yeah.
That sounds like a playoff team to you? Come on. Seriously, Mandar? I mean, it doesn't sound like a playoff team to me. I mean, I want them to make it.
I'm like you guys. I mean, I hope the guy. I mean, hey, maybe they'll catch fire. Maybe Jokinen and Gavrik will go crazy, and the second line will click, and something good will happen. But you know, so far, I mean, it's only one game. We have to you know look a little bit ahead now and see what's going to happen. But as of right now, I'd say no. I mean, maybe 10 games down the road, and if we get 18 out of 20 points or something, I mean, something different could happen. But I don't see that happening unless the secondary scoring starts happening and these guys, I mean, really stand up for each other. I mean, I want to see these guys go to war with each other, man. That's what I want to see. I want to see somebody lead off the bench. Somebody's beating the crap out of Gabrick. Somebody jump off the bench if you have to, if nobody on the ice is going to do anything. I want to see these guys stick together. I want to see some kind of team unity. I don't see nothing.
I think you're more likely seeing the team beat up Tortorella together.
Yeah, that would be good, man. Wouldn't that be good television?
But James, you know, it just boggles the mind that this team can't put the puck in the net, and I just can't see them. And, you know, one factor, the Rangers have been very lucky with injuries. They have not been hit by injuries. Yeah, we lost Dubinsky for a while. We lost Crosby for a while. But if anybody gets injured, and Gabrick, we're rolling the dice. Remember, guys, he was fragile coming into the season. I didn't talk to one expert or any of us that had him pegged for playing 60 games, and here we are approaching the 60-game mark. If this happens, and you know you can't be a fortune teller or a Cassandra, get the Cassandra complex going here, but if anything happens to those two guys, it's over.
It's over.
If it happens even to the other guys on the team, even the Callahans, the Dubinskys, again, you don't know. Even Chris Drury, our power play point guy.
Yeah, Superman.
I mean, we're not even factoring that in. So I think right now,
I mean, they're so fragile right now, and they don't have any confidence at all. I think they're afraid to do anything. I mean, I see them kind of hesitant with anything. I mean, they just look like they're afraid. They don't want to make a mistake. Except Jokinen last night, I seen him throwing the puck all over the place and getting intercepted. I seen a lot of that. Maybe he's trying to force the play, too. I mean, maybe he's trying to make something happen, and that's fine. But, you know, I really don't see too many other guys really doing too much to try to make something happen. And you never see you really don't see too many guys going to the net, really. Like, like when they were scoring those goals, we kept seeing guys in front of the net and all that kind of stuff. And matter of fact, I was listening to Steve Vickers on one of the interviews one day. And he says he's a guy, because we used to just go to the net. He goes, that's where I got all my goals from, right in front of the net, you know. I went there every time. He goes, you know, where else are you going to go? You know, so... Well, where are these guys going? I mean, why aren't they there? Why isn't there somebody screening anybody?
I think, you know, of course, we're not going to judge Jokinen on one game, but he looks like he's more of a guy that is a gunner, a guy that wants the puck rather than going to be dishing it off to Gabrick. But that's just after one game. I can't tell.
Right.
He's very disturbing looking, which I like. He's kind of a freak. You look with that Fu Manchu
like,
going and everything.
He looks like Homer Simpson.
Yeah. Looks a little like Homer. Take the helmet off.
Well, I get mistaken for Homer too. I don't see the skill. I don't see any offensive push. I don't see any forechecking. The defensemen, I mean, I don't want to be so down on the Rangers. I'm just going what I feel and what I see now. I hope they get it together. But the defensemen do not tie up the guys in front. They, positionally, they're okay, but they don't tie sticks up. How many times have we seen this year a goal go off a Rangers skated?
So many.
I know this has been a complaint for us for years, but really, seriously, if I got to see another goal go off a Ranger, some cheapo goal, and you know what it is? The reason everybody says, well, we don't get those bounces. We never have anybody in front of the net.
Exactly.
An opposing defenseman to tie up.
Right, and it's a more glaring thing that we see because we're not scoring any other goals. So that one goal that goes in off the skate, we're only scoring one goal right there. We're not going to win. The best we're going to do is tie. So we're looking at this. We're seeing that puck go off the skate and into the net, and we're like, uh-oh, right away now. We need two goals to win this game, and we can't even score one. And that's the way I'm thinking. It's like my mind is in this negative mode, too, because, as soon as you see something like that, it's like, uh-oh, this is one of those games. No matter what they do, they're not going to win. And that's the way my mind has been working. Usually I'm a little more optimistic, because you have some guys that, the guys put the puck in the net. All right, well, we're down one, big deal. We have a whole game to go. Now it's like even though we have 50 minutes left, I'm worried. And then when they score a goal with 50 seconds left, 2 minutes left, these guys ain't going to tie this thing up.
Right? And I just want to say, the Rangers in 60, they should cut that showdown, the Rangers in 20. I mean, nothing happens. I mean, seriously, you can't even fill an hour.
Too long, man.
Rangers in 8 and 10. Rangers in 8 minutes. It's back to where it was with Rennie. Once they got down 1-0, was like, I'm changing the channel. They're not going to come back.
Yeah.
Unless Gaborik scores, they're not in any games.
And that's sad. And that's sad because this guy's like Dubinsky. We have high hopes for him. Callahan, you know, he scored 20-something goals last year. We have hopes for these guys, and sometimes we keep saying they're streaky. And they've proven it again because they both started to score again. And I'm like, okay, they're starting to score. Maybe they'll stay streaky for a little while longer, and all of a sudden, bang, they go, that's it. The streak is over after a couple games, and we're back down to having Gaborik score, having to, you know, he's the only guy that's going to score, and we have to hope the Lundqvist either gives up one goal or a shutout, or we're not going to win.
All right, and I'm in the mindset now. I don't think they're going anywhere this year. I predicted they'd make the playoffs in the beginning of the year and get knocked out in the first round. If that happens, I'll be ecstatic. I don't want them to get knocked out. But right now, I'm focusing on the young guys and their development. And you talk about the young guys. I think Anisimov has played well. If I had to give him a grade, I'd give him a B+ this year. Delzato has gotten a little bit reckless lately. He's like a minus 20 or so. He's got to shore up his defensive game, but offensively he is fantastic. They don't have a playmaking center, and that kills them. I mean, I know they got Jokinen in recently, but they have no playmaking center that can actually create plays at the blue line. That hurts them. But again, going back to the young guys, here's a topic. Matt Gilroy, should he be on the Wolfpack? I mean, seriously, I mean, I just don't see him contributing at the NHL level in like 25 games. I mean, I really haven't seen anything from him.
Well, here's a good question regarding Gilroy. Gilroy was up with the team. They sent him to Hartford for 3 games to work on his, to work on his positioning and everything else. Does he look any different since he was in Hartford? Since he's come back, does he look any different?
I don't know. I haven't even seen the guy. I mean, they've been scratching him, right? I mean, there's a couple games that were on Versus, and I missed those, so I don't even remember if he played. I haven't seen him in a while, to be honest with you. So I don't know if he's made any headway, or he looks the same, or he's regressed. I have no idea.
I think he looks the same. I don't know. He doesn't look comfortable offensively, and that's supposed to be his game. And
there is a period. And I'll play devil's advocate here for a second, or Rangers advocate here. I hate to say the word devil's annoys me. But, I had a chance to talk to the assistant, the vice president of hockey operations of Boston University. And we were talking about Gilroy, and Gilroy, as you guys know, all the fans know, he's a converted winger. He played wing in college, I think his junior year, and he's still learning the defensive side of the game, but I just don't see the offensive jam to justify it. And he told me Gilroy was going to be a good player. I haven't seen it. I mean, what we saw in the preseason and early in the season from him is what I wanted to see. Him taking chances. Now, is that something we all speculate Tortorella got in his head and the whole thing? For what they're paying him, he's doing nothing. At 25 years old, he needs to be a little bit ahead of schedule than he is, and he's showing nothing out there.
Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah, definitely agree with you. And we saw in the beginning of the year that he did look like he had some kind of future. I mean, we all saw him playing, decent game. We saw him maybe looking, we all said, hey, he's looking okay. He's doing all right. He's not making too many mistakes. And all of a sudden, whew, he went right down. I think once he lost that confidence, like you said, I mean, is it Tortorella? Is it in his own mind that he's afraid to make a mistake? It's like most of these guys, to me, they all seem afraid of something. Who's not jumping on to help Gaborik? They're afraid, what, are going to get fined or penalized? Why? I mean, they're all afraid of something. These guys got to go out there and say, what the hell do we got to lose? We're not in a playoff spot now. Go out there, crash the net, hit everybody, take shots, do what you got to do, stand up for your teammate, and play a damn good game. You lose, you lose. You know, just go out there and play a game. Don't stand there and be timid and you're standing there looking around and like you say, they're not even positioned properly lately and they're doing nothing. And power play looks horrible. Give up a shorthand the goal last night, and that was the difference right there, you know, that shorthand the goal. And I think he had, what, four forwards out there on the power play?
Yeah, he had five forwards out
there. Five forwards out there on the power play,
including
right.
Including Chris Drury, who
yeah,
was the power play specialist.
The specialist.
The fourth
forward. Ole
Jokinen, a veteran Ranger.
Yeah, yeah. So that was a mistake. When you know, and I remember you know, saying it, you know, he has, you know, five forwards out there.
I really can't think of you know, listen, I don't want to be a Debbie Downey here, but really, the list of Ranger problems is endless. It's not like we can't score, but we do stick up for teammates. It's like 15 different things. I mean,
yeah. If we saw them compete from the very beginning, and you see them playing equally, I mean, and you know, and you start, you know, they're taking shot for shot, they're hitting guys, they're getting hit back, and they're going up and, you know, up and down, back and forth, whatever you want to call it, and they're going end to end, and things are looking okay, and you see them in the game. I mean, you're okay, but when, you, like you say, you know, when you know you give up a goal, and then you see them not taking any chances, and they're just sitting back and. You're like, what the hell are they doing? They're down. You don't see them taking chances. I mean, they got to do something. Nothing's changed. They don't, you know, they don't come out, you know, after like an intermission and come out like with a different game plan. It's like the same thing, and you don't see any difference. They didn't change anything up and try to do something different. And that's the part that's bothering me because it just looks like the same old crap. Every period is like nothing different. You don't see him trying anything different except changing combinations, which he's been doing all year. That's all we see. He's juggling the lines. That's it.
Yep, James, I mean, you hit the target. I mean, you know, those are all the things we see going on here. And there is obviously, I think my problem with Tortorella, if I had to, well, you know, these are subjects we've gone over, but if I had to make a summation of it is that he is just so stubborn that he won't change his way of thinking. I'm going to say this as far as, and these are points I've made previous, is that there should be a second bench coach. There's got to be a guy out there that he trusts. I just think the Rangers are very sloppy on their line changes. They need another voice in that locker room, maybe a guy to work with the defenseman. I know Schoenfeld wants to have no part of it, but they need a guy similar to him. The fact that they don't have a seventh defenseman to kind of a mentor these younger guys and tell them, listen, this is how you play the game of defense, protecting your goaltender. They refuse to carry seven defensemen. It's a refusal.
How they've gone 4 months into the season without a seventh defenseman when they have Wade Redden and Michael Roosevelt and rookies on the roster, you know, and two rookies on the roster is unconscionable. Is that the word?
Yeah.
Unfathomable.
Yeah, that's good enough.
But both.
You know what? Sometimes it seems to me like Tortorella's a guy, in other words, he don't want to admit his mistakes. Like, even though he knows he may need that seventh defenseman or he needs to do something else, it's like he kind of keeps it the same just to show that he didn't make an error anywhere where nobody could say, oh, you changed this. Were you, you know, do you think you were wrong for playing it this way? It seems like he just doesn't want to, like, admit his mistake to me. He doesesn't want to, if somebody comes up and asks him about his seventh defenseman, how come he's doing it now? You know, he's going to get all pissed off and start yelling at somebody, you know? But that's the type of guy he seems like.
But, I mean, not even that, but, I mean, you know, the seventh defenseman thing. I mean, if you guys watched the Phoenix game the other night, Redden and Roosevelt, they were terrible. Took three penalties, including one. He took a penalty after the Rangers had scored the two goals and gotten themselves back into the game. And I don't think there was a fan watching that game who thought they were in a minute or two away from tying that game. They had Phoenix on their heels. The Coyotes were finished. I mean, the Rangers, I was confident they were going to tie that game. The crowd was going, the Ranger fans were going bananas. The Rangers were playing with a purpose. And then he takes that penalty, and they were dead. They had to pull Chad Johnson just to even the sides.
Yeah.
He had three penalties in that game. That's inexcusable.
Terrible.
But he doesn't bench him. He refuses to bench him, and I don't get it.
I don't get it.
If Sean Avery takes three bad penalties tomorrow night against the Capitals, will he sit out the next game?
Yeah.
Good chance, right?
Very good chance with Tortorella, yeah.
Or Delzato or Girardi, you could name probably 10 players off that team. If they took three penalties, including one in a crucial time in a game like that, they'd sit out the next game. But he just refuses to – he sat Redden for two games, and they played very well while he was out. I don't think they won both of the – they might, no, I think they did win both games that he was out, and then they brought him back.
Yeah, so why not keep a good thing going? I don't understand that. I mean, go with the flow, man. I mean, if you're winning without this guy, you know, keep it going until you run out. You know, your luck runs out, it runs out. But give the other guys a chance. Let them see what they could do, you know, and then do what you got to do with Redden if you got to get rid of him. You know, if you show you could win without this guy, I mean, you're losing with him anyway, why not keep it like that? I mean, what is the sense, like you said, Jim, in putting him back in there after winning or even playing a good game? And putting him in there to screw everything up and you know, totally, you know, ruin the chances for the next game. It doesn't make any sense at all.
Well, I just, you know, for a coach that preaches discipline, and when does he teach the lessons? You know, who gets taught? Enver Leesen is the only lesson he's taught all year. I mean, you know, let's sit Enver Leesen on the bench. We'll show him.
It was like Pruka, right? Years ago, let's sit out Pruka. It's like there's always this one guy you got to sit out. He's the problem when we know that there's other problems.
So anyway, James, we're going to take a couple other phone calls. We got Mike Zippo coming up in a couple of
minutes. Got it, man. Hey, great talking to you guys. Always a good time. Thanks again, and you guys have a good night.
Thanks,
all right,
James.
Good night.
You too.
All right, buddy. Bye-bye.
Take care.
All right. We got two calls on the switchboard with no number.
Bring
them up. And then we had somebody else. All right, let's try this again. All right. 1-1. Who's this? You're on Blue Shirt Banner Radio with Jim and Eddie. Hello?
Hello? Hello?
Hey, who's this?
Fred.
Hey, Fred, how are you?
Well, I've been better. That was bombastic.
Now, let me introduce you first, Fred, before you... Last night we had Fred the Grump Wodnicki. This is Fred on the phone. We had him at the Staples Center as our live remote correspondent, roving reporter for Blue Shirt Banner Radio. Fred, welcome to the program. What are your thoughts about last night and how did it go?
The live roving reporter for the dead roving team. Well, that was a sad display. I mean... At one point, I looked up and saw how many shots they had and asked myself, when did those happen? I mean, it doesn't seem like they take any shots. I thought they were playing the four corners for a moment in one of the power plays or something, where they were just throwing the puck around to each other forever. It's like, how many times can we get it around the net and back across the blue line until nothing happens? I'm like, somebody shoot the freaking puck. It's that thing with the red pipes. The big twine thing in the middle. So far, the only thing they seem to know how to do is hit the pipe. You know, if they've got that kind of dead aim accuracy to hit the pipe 2-3 times a night, how about aiming for that big thing in the middle with all the white stuff? I think that's the secret. Stop aiming for the red thing. One game, they hit both posts and the damn crossbar.
Now, Fred, I want to
get extra points for that.
Fred, I want to ask you, a lot of Ranger fans want to know, what was going on with that Rangers suck chant that the fans were doing at the Stomach Staples Center?
Yeah, I heard that in the third period. It's on my video that I have to put together for you. Well, they do that all the time out here. Rangers suck, Yankees suck. You know, what are they going
to
say?
And they do the Rangers
suck
they do it to the Pop Van Sucks chant, correct?
See, yeah, I didn't realize that. Why so much hatred for New York?
Well, it's L.A. I remember they used to do that at the L.A. Forum when the Kings played there. They've been doing that at Ranger, you know, Ranger Kings games for years. I remember hearing that, at, you know, when I was a kid. It's L.A. It's West Coast, East Coast, man.
They hate New York. You know, they hate San Francisco.
It's the,
we don't say
it's the
Raptors. We could care less.
Exactly. Now,
and what kind of fans were there? A lot of diehard King fans there? Did they give you any problems with your Ranger garb that you were displaying so proudly?
No, I had the military protecting me. There was like 12 guys in some kind of army uniform that look old enough to shave behind me. And oddly enough, they all walked out together and all came back with souvenirs together. Not souvenirs, food between periods. I'm like, geez, these guys really are a unit. Don't they do anything separately? Like all of them go out, they all come back, and all at the same time. Fascinating.
Now, on the subject of food, we have another very important question from the chat room, and that is,
no,
how was the veggie burger?
No, I did not puke up my veggie burger.
Well, they wanted to know, how was the veggie burger?
It was good, although I must admit it left a bad taste after that game was over. And I did hear some of those cracks at the end of the show when I managed to get AT&T service back up again. The worst part about that Rangers suck chant was, you know, you wanted to dispute it, but, boy, it's really hard to come up with anything. Like, okay,
yeah,
you
really.
Got me.
Yeah. It's tough.
It just kept going on. It's like, all right, we know. Stop rubbing it in.
Just ask the Kings fans where they keep their Stanley Cups.
Exactly.
Yeah. Where's that room? Yeah. Where's that display case?
It's on tour at every other arena. Douchebags.
Well, you know, how many Ranger fans were there? I mean, could you gauge?
Well, nothing very good happened until the end, so it was tough to judge. I mean, the only applause came with 2:37 left when we score a goal, and by then I think they'd all gotten disgusted and started leaving. Normally at any kind of LA event, it used to be like at the Angel games. It used to be we were the hometown fans. It was like 50%+ sometimes, I thought, in Angel Stadium. Started winning and got into the series and stuff, and suddenly all their tickets start selling, and the Yankee fans came. So the King games is probably, I'd say, 30%, maybe 40 on a good day. But, yeah, what are you going to do? I mean, probably lesser last night because who wants to go see that? I mean, that's
yeah, course. No, it's good.
The other team going to ask. Kings. I mean,
did you jump out of your seat when Chris Drury had that shot with just seconds to go? And I thought it was funny when he'd taken that shot. Like, before that shot had even happened, Sam Rosen says, and the Rangers have lost another one, and the game was still going on. Like, he didn't expect them to get an offensive. Did you get up out of your seat at that point?
Was that the 12 and a half seconds left or something?
Yeah, it was a face-off deep, and then it was, like, actually two
yeah.
seconds. Drury got you were probably in a parking lot.
Yeah, they they had the face-off, I think, with 12 and a half seconds or something.
Right,
and they got up and shot, and then that last-second shot in front of the net. And, I was standing there. I was shooting the thing on the video, so I didn't jump up. I mean, that last-second shot, you can hear me cursing on the video.
Fred, we have Mike Zippo coming on in a minute here. He's the organizer of the Fire Sather rally, and we want to talk to him. But
yeah,
before
Fred,
we let you go, can you give us because it was very popular last night? Can you give us once again your assessment of the Rangers season, the one that you gave us last night that was so brilliant?
Oh, you mean the
yeah?
They're great. They suck. They're great. They
yeah.
suck. They're so-so. They suck. They're okay. They suck. They suck some more. They suck. They're okay. They're great. They suck. They suck. And then they suck. That's a variation on a theme.
Well, that's great. Fred the Grump Wodnicki, we love you. And you were a great hit last night, and you were a great hit tonight. And we'll be in contact. I'll be emailing you, and I'll send you a copy of your appearances.
Yeah, get me a phone number, and I'll call you and
we'll
arrange the video.
Yeah, we'll talk. We will succeed where others have failed. The great Fred Wodnicki, ladies and gentlemen. Everybody
Rangers.
Give him a round of applause.
Thanks,
Yay.
Fred.
Yay, me. Thanks, guys. Have a
Thanks.
Good
Thanks. Take it easy. Later.
Rangers.
Take care, my friend.
Gentlemen.
Wow.
The always exuberant Fred the Grump.
Yeah, I got to tell you. Grump was in rare form last night. It looks like he's a little bit down now. So now, what's happening? Were you bringing on the great Mike Zippo? I want to hear all about this.
I'm just we're just waiting for Mike to call in at this point. I just wanted to since we were past the 9 o'clock hour, I had an opportunity to I just wanted to make sure that we gave Fred the proper send off before we had to bring Mike on. So
oh yeah,
as soon as Mike calls in, we'll put him right on. We're just waiting on that. We do have there is somebody else hanging on the switchboard with no phone number, so we're going to ask you to hang in there for a little while with us while we talk to Mike, and we'll bring you on afterwards. So, Mike, if you're out there listening, now is the time, my friend.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to talking to him. Oh, here he is, Biff.
Guys, how you
without
doing?
Without further ado, let's bring on Mike Zippo. Mike is it Zippo? Am I pronouncing that correctly?
Yep, that's right.
Okay, Mike Zippo, he is the organizer of the Fire Glen Seder Rally, and he joins us tonight. He's been, we talked about it here on the radio a couple weeks ago, and he also got to talk to Puck Daddy about it, and now he joins us here on Blue Shirt Banner Radio. Mike, Jim, and Eddie, welcome to the program.
Good to be here, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Well, thank you. We appreciate it. So why don't you tell us – oh, go ahead, Eddie. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I got to love this. First of all, I like it because it's reverent isn't the right word, but I like the fact that this is a grassroots movement that you have started. And I want to know how you got the idea. Was this kind of like a whim that kind of took off, or was this something calculated you did and it's kind of taken a life of its own?
Well, I thought of it the day after the Rangers lost to Pittsburgh a couple weeks ago. I was just sitting around in between classes and everything, and I wrote on a status. I saw something on HF boards about something like that. They had a thread about having Seder fired. So I said, a couple people commented on my status, and it basically just took off from there. We picked a date, and I created the event, and I sent out about 100 invitations, and since then, everybody's been inviting, their friends and other Ranger fans. And, as of right now, we have, over 1,000 confirmed guests. I know that 1,000 people aren't going to show up, but it's just kind of taken a life of its own the last couple of weeks.
Now, Mike, are you a season ticket holder? Or?
Yeah. My first year having my own season tickets was 2006-07. And
okay.
I've had him for 4 seasons.
Okay. Now, let me ask, how old a guy are you?
I'm 20. I'm in college. So I work a summer job, and I pay for him out of my own pocket. So.
Wow.
This guy's working a summer job just to pay for his Ranger tickets. Now, are you worried now that your name's out there and you've been on Puck Daddy and you're on Facebook, everything, are you worried about any repercussions from the Rangers? Have you heard from them?
No, I haven't heard from them. The only reason why I'm really not worried is because of Knicks fans had a rally a couple of years ago when I, trying to get Isaiah Thomas ousted, and a bunch of the people that organized that one were season ticket holders, and I don't think they had anything happen to them. So I'm really not worried.
I was going to say, you're going up against the Kremlin here, though. Talking about Clint Fader. I mean, this is
you're trying to topple Saddam here in the back to back.
Oh, I know that, but
yeah.
No, I'm not really too worried about it. The only thing I'm really worried about is getting like the permits that we're gonna need from the police department and all that stuff. That's really all I'm worried about at this point.
You need a permit to organize this rally in front of the garden?
Well, yeah, basically, well, the ones the Knicks fans did, there's only about like 50 to 100 people there. I took a little time to do some research, and it's a right to assemble permit. You need one if there's going to be over 200 people, for a congregation outside. So I just want to try and get the permits just in case they do try to, kick us off and
that's right.
Fail this whole thing. So I just want to, and that's why we set it out so far away, in March, because we had to, I know how New York City works, So I wanted to try and build enough time in to make sure we get everything we need, so that, you know, we really don't get into trouble that much or anything. So,
well, right. You know, and the funny part is that, you know, if something goes awry here, you know, you don't get your permits or the Rangers take your tickets, you'll become a folk hero. It'll only increase the popularity of all of this. I mean, you know, Ranger fans in general are down on this organization as it is in the way they treat the fans. And if, you know, if they pull some chicanery here, you'll become a legend.
You will.
I really don't care about that. I really just want this to all go well and get this guy fired. That's all that matters to me. I don't care if people know who the hell I am in 6 months or whatever. I just want this to go well, to have our voice heard, and that's it. So.
Now, I know you had a little bit of an issue with some Island blogger. I don't know the specifics of it. I think you kind of rectified it with him about having some Islander fans attend this. And I don't think you have to worry about Islander fans attending anything. They don't even attend their own games.
Exactly.
So I don't think
– yeah.
I don't think they can't afford to train about it.
I mean, I talked to him about it, and he said it was primarily like a joke or something like that, and he wasn't trying to intend to get anybody to show up. But, you know, that's probably the last thing we need if we have a huge crowd.
Now, are you going to have any kind of rule set up for the Ranger fan that attends this rally, is what they can do and what they can't do? Because I got some out there ideas that I'm going to do. But I'm going to clear them with you. First, is there any rules I have to go by if I'm a Ranger fan going to this?
No, not really. Just to probably be loud. That's pretty much it.
Eddie, you have to be dressed.
Oh, there it goes. I got to tell you. You just spoiled my March 7th. No, I got to – this was my idea, and this is a sick idea. All right, it's sick.
Oh,
it's depraved. But I have a disabled friend of mine who can't walk.
Right.
He's permanently in a wheelchair. And I'm going to put a sign on him that says, Glenn Sather is the reason I'm a cripple. Now, I think – now, would that be allowed? Because, I mean, that's, you know – or Glenn Sather took my legs or something like that.
Oh, I don't know about that.
I think that's – you don't know about that one? All right.
I don't know.
Because,
it's pretty funny, though. I don't know.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that would get us attention. I mean, you know, we want the media to see this. I mean,
oh, no, I know. That's pretty funny, though. I don't know.
Well, you got to expect there's going to be a lot of Ranger fans out there with signs that are going to be funny.
Of course. And we're in the process of getting some signs made up. I'm sure everybody who's taking part in the chat right now, they've seen the picture on the Facebook event. We're gonna get a couple of those signs made up. We're gonna get a bunch of signs made up. We're gonna have a prepared statement to make that we're gonna distribute to all the media and stuff like that. So. You know, there's a bunch of planning that's going into this. We're talking about getting T-shirts made up and stuff like that, too.
Oh,
so,
that'd be great.
Yeah.
Got to get a double X for me, though.
Now, Mike,
we're trying to get a price on all that's done this weekend, so.
You talk about the media. Have you had – you've obviously, you know, with us and with Puck Daddy, you've obviously been able to, you know, get some publicity on this through the
ESPN radio,
the new
too,
media.
Right?
Right, ESPN Radio mentioned us too the second night.
That's right. What about the Ranger beat writers?
Well, one of the guys that I've been organizing the rally with heard back from Zippe from Newsday, and I'm actually kind of surprised that he even heard back from him because Newsday is owned by Cablevision. So,
right.
Zippe head. Let me tell you what he said. He tell your friend he'll check his sked. That's all he ever says to me. I'm going to check my sked. I don't trust that guy.
He might be a mole. He said he was going to get in contact with us again about doing something about it, but that never came to be. I heard back from Andrew Gross. He said that Gross, great guy. Yes, he said that when the date gets closer, just give him a couple updates and he'll get something out there about it.
Love Andrew Gross.
Yeah, he seems like a great guy, and we're going to have something in the Jersey Star Ledger towards the end of the month. We'll have a whole article about it. So,
oh, that's good.
I've tried to get in touch with Brooksy. He hasn't. I haven't heard back from him yet. But we're going
to. He's got his own. He's got his own battles to fight.
Oh yeah, I know that.
He's got his own fire rally going.
Yeah, he's gonna fly a Tortorella rally.
We're gonna try and get in touch with everybody again when the date gets a little closer.
If you want to contact Larry Brooks, my suggestion is go to the. Well, he might not want to go to in person, but the dominatrix places in the city. He hangs quite a lot. Just not a little submissive streak in him. I hear with Larry Brooks, that wacko.
Oh man.
Next week on the show, Larry Brooks.
Larry Brooks for next week.
Oh, man.
But I guess getting back on track, you know, when I first heard about this, my reaction was this. It's either going to be really great or it's going to be a total debacle. And now that I've talked to you, I think it's going to be a total debacle. No, I mean, I think it's going to be good because you're getting the permits because, you know, these stooges, the man, as we like to say in the old days, you know, they're going to come and they're going to go, you know, where's the leader? Where is your permits? And when you smack it to them and you say, here's my, you know, right to assemble permit, and, you know, and then it's going to be, I'm going to be there filming. I'm going to be airing it all on Ranger Crisis. I know Blue Shirt Fan is going to cover it. And I guess I want to talk about what Jim was talking about, is the way the new media really, and social networking, let's face it,
That's the way this thing grew. Because I started the event on a Tuesday. The next morning, the guy from Puck Daddy sent me an email. So I it's all about social networking, and that's how this thing has taken off. So,
And the ironic thing about that is that we're here to tell you that the Rangers are scared to death of social media.
Yes, we can tell you. New media, they are scared to death of us. They're scared to death of anything that is counter to their, mind control or their mantra that they send out, that everything is rosy in Rangerville. 1994 is 2010. They're all one. Oh, let's show the pregame show is just all about charity, and Chris Drury gave some kid a little baby, a little teddy bear. It's all great. Meanwhile, we got the worst owner, the worst GM. Everything stinks. They don't listen to the fans. They're charging $5 million for that Blue Shirt United crap. They forgot about the Ranger fan club. It's a total joke, Mike. And the thing is, They charge it all for that Blue Shirt United. There is already a Ranger fan club that has been in existence for over 50 years.
Oh yeah,
It was founded by Frank Boucher, a guy who played for the Rangers. And what
they
you
don't
have
even acknowledge
here is
it anymore, really.
They railroad them. It's all corporate. It's all corporate. It's all to make money. They don't care about the fans. I mean, it's total nonsense, and I'm all for this. And they don't even know it's coming. They don't know it's coming.
Know.
They don't want to deal with the new media, you know, and the social networking. They're afraid to outsource. They even said that to us when we approached them. We don't like to affiliate ourselves with anybody outside because we came with them with this idea for the program. And what they did is they made their own program. They took. Jim was nice enough to give him our numbers. They liked the idea. They gave us Dave Maloney to talk here and see what the numbers would be. They were great. We didn't hear from them for weeks and weeks. And guess what? They decided to do their own show. And their show stinks. They don't take calls. You have to email your questions. Everybody's from 1994. Nothing is current. You can't say a descending word against Kremlin, Glenn Sather, Mr. Magoo, whatever you want to call him, and James, the absentee landlord, Dolan. That's why Blue Shirt Band Radio is number one. That's why social networking is number one. That's why new media is number one. It's the voice of the people. And I'm telling you, Mike Zippo, that's what you embody, and I salute you.
Oh, well, thank you very much. And, you know, honestly, I'm surprised that they haven't embraced it all because, you know, other teams around the league are embracing it. I know the Islanders, because I went to an Islander game a couple weeks ago, they have a whole...
Why? Did you lose a bet?
Side. No. It was, my brother was playing a game at the Coliseum before the Islander game, so
oh.
You know, I was out there for that. But
the Islanders offer him a contract?
No, I'm surprised they didn't.
You know, Mike, you bring up good points, and I got to tell you, you're right. Teams like the Capitals, they embrace the new media so much because they got a young team, they're current, you got a bunch of old dinosaurs that are running Madison Square Garden, they have no idea what's going on, and you bring up you want to hear such a disgrace, and you just brought it up when you watched your brother, right? Did they charge you to watch your brother?
Who, the Islanders?
Yeah.
No.
Because I want to say, the reason I say this is because when the kids play at Madison Square Garden, you know, you see the peewees out there, they charge the parents to watch their kids so they can pay for the Zamboni.
Right.
So they can pay for the Zamboni between periods. Is that disgraceful?
I don't mean to break off into the Islanders here and get away from the whole thing, but when I was in high school, we did a fundraiser every year with the Islanders. We sold a certain amount of tickets, and they donated a certain amount to the hockey program at my high school, and we've been doing that for like 5 years. And this was the first year that they actually got to play a game on the Coliseum ice. So we got a good relationship with the people over there, and they always take care of us. So, and then we were also talking to them about that and getting the group seats, or whatever. At the Garden, I heard that they actually charge you more to sit in a group there, whereas at the Coliseum, you get like a little discount or whatever.
Right.
It's just, you know, I mean, I know the Islanders have to sell more tickets and all that stuff, but you know,
right.
It's a joke. It's really
it's a joke. And listen, you know, my co-host sometimes, Manda, says, you know, the Islanders have to do that, and it's true. But
they
for
do.
The Rangers season ticket hold, you're trying to tell me they have to charge for that damn Zamboni? Come on, $90 a person? That's nonsense. How about a season ticket holder like you? What promotional nights do you get as a fan? You get a free stick night, a free little stick night, a free puck night?
No, I mean, they have those little, you know, they have question and answer nights with some current players and some of the older players.
You don't get nothing. They never have promotional nights.
Oh, we have promotional nights a year. We got a calendar that I'm actually looking at right now. We had a T-shirt night against Carolina. That's really about it. I mean, we get our free yearbook. that's it, though. I mean, we don't get much. We don't get much at all. What we do get is an annual increase in ticket prices every summer. That's all we get.
You don't get much off the ice or on the ice.
No.
Yeah.
No, not at all.
You think they would be catering? Would you agree with me here, Mike? And you can feel free to disagree, but do you see the place not as full or a lot of people? A lot of season ticket holders have been kind of trying to sell off their tickets this year. Do you see an increase in that?
Oh, for sure. Definitely. I know that I really haven't gotten – the last game I went to was against Carolina, and I sold a bunch before that, and I'm not going until the Tampa game. So I know personally I've been selling a lot of mine off. You know, I go to school in Connecticut, and my freshman year here, I went to 35 home games. This year, you know, it doesn't make sense for me to drive all the way down or take the Metro North, and if I'm going to see crap on the ice, I'm just sick and tired of seeing it. So, you know, I love having my tickets. I love going to the games. I love the people that I sit around, and I really don't want to give them up, but, you know, there's
right.
no point in going down there. 35 games.
Now, Jim, do you have any questions? I still got a couple more.
No, go ahead. I'm good.
You want to? Okay. All right. I guess my next question is, did this take off because you were kind of teased by that fake rumor that Carton on WFAN started with that if the Rangers didn't win that night that Fader would be fired? Yeah.
No, this had nothing to do with that. I know that was months ago. or last, or it was, I think that was December, I think. But
right.
No, this really had nothing to do with that. I mean, we had just, you know, had enough, basically. And, you know, three or four of us commented on that status, and that's where it took off. So it had nothing to do with that.
Now, I just got – go ahead, Jim.
Oh, Mike, the group that sits around you at the Garden, obviously, you know, you see them, you know, 20, 30 times a year, whatever
right.
it is. Are they all on board with you for your rally?
Oh, yeah, for sure. They've been – when we've all been saying this from before this whole thing started about him having to go. We've been saying it for the last 3 years or however long I've been sitting there. But yeah, they're all on board. They're all going to be there. So
they're all going to be there. What about Dancing Larry?
No.
No. I know.
You'll ruin all credibility with that guy. You cannot have Homo Larry there. He probably wants to be paid. He probably wants to be paid.
Is that what he
did?
Well, trust me. The people that sit around me, we don't want. They wouldn't want him there either. We don't like him at all. So,
good.
So I don't see him. Well, I'm not actually. I'm not going to reach out and ask for him to be there. But
no.
I can't really do anything.
Well,
he
probably listen. I think he might start a fire Dancing Larry.
That'd be great.
Get rid of Dancing Larry. I can't. Yeah, that'll be great. That might be my calling in life.
That's our rally.
Get rid of this. Get rid of this. He wants to be paid for everything. Meanwhile, the guy, like, I can understand it. The guy, like, stuffs magazine racks for a living. The guy, he's a little bit hard up. But let's get away from Larry because he drives me bananas. But so that wasn't the impetus for this whole thing. I got to tell you, I was at an event Sunday, and people were talking about this at the event. They were coming up to me and saying, "You going to the rally and this?" And even the players. I don't think I've told this to Jim or anybody, but Ricky O, who's a guy who calls into the show a lot, he organizes a lot of player signings.
Right.
And he was doing one up in New Jersey with Andy Green of the Devils, and there were a lot of Devil fans up there saying, Andy, put the Rangers – this is how obsessed the Devil fans are with the Rangers, by the way.
Oh, I know.
They said, put Rangers suck on it, Andy. Now, Andy Green was a class act enough to say, no, I'm not going to do that.
Right.
But he did sign for Ricky O several autographs, pictures of please keep Sather, because Andy Green wants the Rangers to keep Glenn Sather. It continues.
I can't blame any
right?
Islander Devil fans for that. If you guys are horrible at your jobs for 10 years, would you still be there? I don't think so. Especially in a time like this. But the guy's done nothing and all but try to cover up his mistakes, and that's exactly what I think the Kotelly trade was the other night. It's just another move to try and cover up for his mistakes. And
I don't know where he finds these guys to bamboozle by covering up. He must call in a lot of favors with those people up north.
Yeah,
with Gainey.
I have to give him a little bit of credit for pulling those two trades off. They were very good trades. This one frees up our cap space for the summer for him to make another outlandish signing. But
right.
You know, they're just mistakes that he shouldn't have made to begin with. I mean, in June, he traded away Scott Gomez, and he got rid of that mistake. But 3 weeks later, 2 weeks later, whatever, he signs Kotelik and gives him a limited no trade. I mean,
yeah.
If you're going to rid yourself of one mistake, don't pick up another one 2 weeks later. Learn a little bit.
Yeah. No, I agree. You know, in the UFA market, he has been abominable. And I've said this 1,000 times on this program. Can you think of any business that has run so badly like this business has been for the last 10 years? They're bad businessmen. They're bad with the PR. They're bad with the team that's on the ice, which really is the ultimate. If this team was winning, you wouldn't hear a peep out of us. We'd be all happy.
Of course.
And the thing is, 10 years of absolute impotence. I mean, they have one. I term it impotence with arrogance. That's what this Glenn Sather, James Dolan era is. They have nothing to show for it except two playoff wins, victories. We went like three or four years without even making the playoffs, these boneheads. And they still continue to give us quotes like, "We feel Wade Redden is the best first passer in the league," when they sign him. When they make statements like that, and nobody holds them accountable, and now we have somebody, people that are holding them accountable, because there's no...
This is Kevin Greenstein from the New York Sun. Glenn, just wanted to get your sense on Wade Redden, what he's going to add to the Rangers' blue line core, and what you're thinking moving forward with regard to the defense.
Well, he's an experienced defenseman. He's been an all-star twice in the league. He's... in our opinion, the best first passer in the game today. He moves the puck up exceptionally. He's somebody that we had targeted immediately. He was our number one guy in defense, you know, as well as Roosevelt. We wanted to get them both signed, and we did. And we're quite happy that we've got them. And we think that it's going to help move the puck to the forwards as well as anybody in the league today.
I don't even know.
Are you What's your reaction, Mike, hearing that?
Well, I had heard that. I heard that conference call when they signed him.
How out of touch is this guy?
It's ridiculous.
Seriously.
Ridiculous.
I thought,
you know, Marek Milik made a good first pass, too. But, you know, he sucked also.
Should we play the other greatest hits for Mike? The other one we got up here?
This is the one I call the five jokers signing. Go ahead.
New York Rangers have agreed to terms with Aaron Voros, Patrick Rissmiller, Steve Valiquette, Michael Roosevelt, and Wade Redden.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
You are a bum.
That is so... I mean, it's ridiculous.
I mean, really? I mean, come on. I mean, this is, we're in some kind of alternate reality with this guy that he thinks that Wade Redden is a better passer than Nicholas Lidstrom at the time or a Chris Pronger. Wade Redden, I have talked to so many guys. We've had callers who've talked to people. I talked to E.J. Raddick. These guys, they couldn't believe that Redden got what he got. It was absurd. It encapsulates everything we've been going on. And I tell you, Mike, I applaud you. I'm going to be there. I want VIP status, though. I don't know what that entails.
Well,
but
you're going to have a video camera, and we need somebody to video some stuff for us. So you'll be right up there. And I'm glad you guys are coming out and covering this thing, because we need as many people as we can there.
Well, Mike, before we let you go, it's March 7th, right?
Right, March 7th, 5 p.m.
And that, what day is that? What day is that?
That's a Sunday. They're playing Buffalo that
Sunday. Okay.
it's going to be
right
outside.
That's a Sunday. So I think, Eddie, I think what we should do is I think we'll have to do a show that day, and I'll just run the show, and you'll be our man on the scene down there.
Sure.
We can get some great reactions from people. We'll do it up.
Yeah, I mean. Yeah, so it's going to be right outside. It's going to be on the border side of the garden. I think we're going to have it on the sidewalk instead of up on that pavilion, because that's MSG property and all that good stuff. We're hoping that there's going to be – I mean, I know there's, you know, 1,000 people confirmed for this event on Facebook, but I know how Facebook events work.
Right.
You know, just – it would be great if everybody just kept, you know, getting word around and – you know, getting people out there. People have tickets for the games. Come on out before, and that's pretty much it. I mean, if people aren't going to show up, I set up a petition online. I'll put it in the chat after I get off the air here. We're going to print that out. We're going to send it to Rangers offices and Jim Dolan, and We're picking up momentum here. We're going to try and get some more articles in the papers, too, as well. So,
All right, and Mike, nope. let's pencil you in right now for either March 2nd or 3rd when we do the shows. We'll have you on again, and we'll talk about it, and we'll just see, make sure you're all good to go, and you can finalize everything with us here on the air.
Definitely. That sounds great.
All right, Mike.
Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
No problem.
Anytime,
Take
Mike.
Care,
we'll talk
Mike.
To you soon.
All right,
Thank
guys.
You so much.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, that was
there
Mike Zippo, the organizer of the Fire Say the Rally. Look,
not the permits.
You know, and you
well,
know,
working on the permits.
And as far as you know, our standpoint goes, you know, whether you agree with it or disagree with it, this is news concerning the Rangers right now. This is a fan uprising, if you will, and you know we're gonna cover it whether the Rangers like it or not. So. That's that. So we got 24 minutes to go. Eddie, we got a full switchboard. We're going to bring in some calls in a minute. A couple of new calls, I think. I don't recognize some of these numbers. If you want to get in, 646-478-4692 is the number. Let's go to – I want to see who this is because it's popped up a couple of times now. The 973 area code, 973-837. You're on Blue Shirt Banner Radio. Who's this?
This is Vinny, guys. How you doing?
Hey Vinny, welcome
to the
program. How are you?
I could probably talk to you guys for about an hour and a half about this team. I mean, it's a laundry list, but you guys have hit pretty much every corner about this team, starting with Dolan down to Sather. It's a mess. I have one of the guys signed up for this rally, by the way, and I'm sending out left and right.
We know this is your first time calling in. Is this your first time listening to the show?
Actually, it is.
Okay. Well, don't let the first hour throw you. You know, we had some all kinds of issues the first hour. Go back and listen to last night's show from beginning to end, and that's a little more like what our show
is. Don't worry. He knows the show is great. You don't have to get into the whole thing. Now, Vinny, I want to ask you, what's your biggest pet peeve with this Ranger team right now on the ice?
It's got to be accountability on defense. Gilroy and Delzato are rookies, but not having that seventh defenseman to spell these guys a couple nights where, as rookies, especially as a 19-year-old, you got to have some games, and I've seen it so many times in NHL before, these kids, they got to sit in the press box for a couple games when they're playing badly. Like, Delzato has not been great. He's got to sit back and watch the game from above. And without a seventh defenseman, you can't spell these kids. And Gilroy gets sent down for three games. What does that do?
Yeah,
nothing.
And Vinny, I don't even think it's just for sitting down the kids. I think it should be for sitting down the veterans too.
Roosevelt and Reddit,
they've been terrible. You know, like I said before, I don't know if you heard us. I was at the Phoenix game the other night. Roosevelt taking that third penalty when they were on the comeback. It's inexcusable.
Absolutely. I mean that Pruka play was. I mean, that was kind of a dive, but the two earlier penalties took in the game, the interference where he dove, gets right up and pushes the guy into the net, knocking the pegs off, and then the slashing call. I mean, they're bonehead plays. Watching a guy carry the puck, just handle the puck, it's excruciating.
Yeah.
And Redden's no better. I mean, he gets benched for two games, comes back, and has not looked any bit better.
No. He's been a nothing all season. I mean, he needs to be benched just on his play. I don't understand why you hit the nail on the head when you said about accountability. Because in the beginning of the season, all we heard was Tortorella says is that the people are going to be accountable, and the way you play and how you play is going to determine your ice time. And I don't see that happening. Before Christopher Higgins got traded, which I guess is the ultimate benching, Higgins was playing all the time. And if there's anyone who deserved to get benched, I know everybody has got effort. He had been making so many bad decisions on finishing that he was sticking the joint up. And there was no accountability with him. You know, we're going to play with grit. We're going to play with sandpaper. All this stuff is out the window. This team is, I mean, really, they play with no passion. Would you agree?
Absolutely. And you know, I want to sit there and I want to blame Tortorella, but this is the guy I wanted to come in. But
right.
I feel like he's handcuffed with what he has to play with. I mean, to bench one of those guys and put Kotalik back in, that's not doing him any good. And with not having a seventh defenseman, he can't really hold these guys accountable unless they call up Heikkinen. Or, I mean, I really don't understand why Sanguinetti hasn't gotten a chance to play yet, or Mike Sauer. I mean, Sauer was a second-round pick. He had a great year last year in Hartford. Look, he was finally ready for the NHL, and he doesn't get a look. And I would rather see those guys up here right now than Redden and Rosenthal.
Well, they had Heikkinen up for 7 games. He played very well, and he sent him back. And I think Sanguinetti, I think Tortorella's just got a wild hair up his ass about Sanguinetti. I really do.
That's something. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say with Sanguinetti, I think he's just out of the loop completely. The kid is, you know, he's busted his proverbial butt in trying to acquiesce to both coaches, both Rennie and changing his style. And then now he gets Tortorella, who is really, Sanguinetti has been such a, he's done everything. What a good soldier, and he's really getting the shaft. And I wouldn't be surprised if he's moved. You don't hear much about Corey Potter anymore. It looks like he's fallen out of favor. Like you said, I believe Sauer's hurt at this point, or maybe it's Sanguinetti. I'm not sure, but right. And I think that and simply JB just brought up. Really, Dane Byer should be up with this team. They need a guy with grit up on that in the fourth line and the third line, and I don't know why.
That's really why
he blows
Boros away.
Yes, and I think that ultimately that's Tortorella's decision. He's saying to us, Aaron Boros is more valuable to this team than Dane Byer. He got a little bit of a look, and I think that's with Tortorella. I said it earlier in the program. I think he's just a little bit too stubborn for his own nature, and he doesn't want to let anybody into that circle of trust. You know, that's why he's got only one coach. That's why he's got 6 defensemen. That's one assistant coach, a 6 defensemen, and you know, I don't know what it is, but I see that as a problem. And it's not like the Rangers are hurting for talent in the back line, like you said, in the minor leagues. We have a lot of guys to bring up, and I think you made a great point. With, you know, MDZ has been terrible defensively of late, and it wouldn't hurt him to watch a couple games from upstairs and see what the game is about, and just send a message, because Delzato is an, I don't want to say arrogant, but he's a very confident guy. He thinks he's, and this is why he is what he is. He's a very confident guy who thinks he is belongs in the NHL, and he does, but maybe to send a message and also get him to see the game from a different perspective, to get him going. And unfortunately, it doesn't happen. And it seems things are done a little bit unconventionally here with Tortorella. I mean, no seventh defenseman. I mean, this is hockey 101, you know, and it's not done.
Yeah, I would love to know what's going on behind the bench, because, like I said, I wanted Tortorella here last year when before there was even talk about Rennie being fired when Tortorella was let go by Tampa. I said, that's the guy for the Rangers. It's a
right.
Mike Keenan-esque coach. He's not going to take any bull. And, you know, other than his post-game chats, nothing else has been very exciting.
Other than that, I haven't seen anything. And you know there's the serious disconnect between him and the players, because he comes out and he says, every game, we got to come out hard. How many games this season the Rangers come out really good? 5?
Handful, yeah.
Yeah,
and
I mean, really.
After every game you hear, you know, I don't know. You hear from Callahan, you hear from other guys. I don't know why we don't come out better. How many times do you need to say that?
Yeah. Well, Vinny, we appreciate your phone call. I hope you listen to the program in the future. I'm telling you, it was great having you.
Oh, you guys
hey,
got a fan now. They'll be watching listen to every show.
Hey,
all right,
we appreciate it.
Super.
Vinny, before you go, let me ask you a question. How old a guy are you, if you don't mind me asking?
I'm 31.
Oh, okay. You're a little bit older. You sounded a little bit younger, because I was going to say it's funny how it's these younger guys that are, you know, behind this fire, say the rally and getting it organized, and
You know, like Mike Zippo, he's had enough. He wants to stay there. He's only 20 years old. I mean, he's only, you know, he hasn't had to suffer as long as some of us older guys have.
He got a cup at 5 years old. I got one at 15, and right. I'm sick and tired of celebrating the 94 cup every year.
I'm sick of
the TV shows on MSG, enough of the retirements. It's got to be forgotten. They can't keep on selling us on one cup.
Excellent.
I agree. All right, Vinny, thank you, sir.
Friend. You too, guys.
Call us again. Okay.
All right, good night.
Good night. All right, that was Vinny calling in, first-time caller and a first-time listener. So it's good. See, reaching out to Mike, getting him on the show. We're getting in some new callers. We've had some new people in the chat tonight. All right, we got 15 minutes to go. Let's bring on it. We take another call, Eddie?
Yeah, let's bring him on. Let's fire him out.
All right, let's see who we got here. 631-747, you're on Blue Shirt Banner Radio with Jim and Eddie. Who is this?
Hey, what's going on? My name is Tom.
Hey, Tom, how
are
you doing
tonight?
Welcome
to the program.
Hey, how you guys doing? Hey, listen, you know, I was listening about the pet rally and stuff. Let's be real. Do you guys really think that's going to work? I think if someone needs to make a statement, it's everyone, all the Rangers fans. I personally think if we want to say they're gone, to stop buying tickets. I mean, you guys said earlier, okay, the attendance may have been a little down, but we're still pretty much filling up the Garden. I mean, and I really just don't think that's going to work. I mean, I'm fed up with this team, and I know you guys are too, but I just don't think it's going to work. I mean, look at Isaiah with the Knicks. He went to court. He lost the Garden $10 million, and come on, he wasn't fired right away. You know, we're still in the playoffs. I just don't really think that it's going to be, you know, working out. I mean, you know, I think it's a great idea, but, I mean, let's be real. You guys really think this is going to work out? You guys really think it's a lot of people going to come? I mean, during the Olympics, I mean, but I like to watch the Olympics. I like as the Rangers are playing right now, I don't want to be thinking about the Rangers. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Well,
you make
Tom, I understand. You make a great point, Tom. And sometimes it's not, you know, it's not just about whether it's going to work or not. Sometimes it's just about making a statement. And,
right.
You know, and you make a great point about Ranger fans stop showing up. But you know what? We all know that it's not just Ranger, quote-unquote Ranger fans buying those tickets. It's a lot of corporate, you know, there's a lot of corporate tickets that are bought. And you know, a lot of that is used for entertaining clients and stuff like that. And you make a great point, and I've said it before on this show, the Giants, you know, former owner Wellington Mara used to say all the time, empty seats speak volumes.
Right.
But, you know, Ranger fans aren't showing up at the games like they used to. But getting back to the rally, you know, sometimes it's just about making a statement. And if Mike gets a couple of hundred people out there that all are behind us and say everybody stands together and just says we've had enough, and it gets
right.
coverage in the press, you know, that's what it's about. Is Glenn say they're going to be fired walking out the building that night after the Sabres game? I highly doubt it.
No.
But
no, he won't.
You know, it's about making a statement. You know, it's kind of like, you know, it's like what we do every week on this show. You know, we talk about what's wrong with the Rangers and what's right with the Rangers. And, you know, we talk about how mismanaged they are and things like that. And no, we don't expect it to change, but sometimes it's just about being heard.
Yeah, and exactly. You know, I'm
Ranger,
from Long Island.
You know, if you get a couple hundred Ranger fans together and they can be heard, well, you know, maybe that's where it starts.
Right. You know, I'm from Long Island. I'm probably going to go to the pep rally just to check it out. But I was just saying, if you guys really think, you know, would it work? You guys think the media will start covering it maybe a little more?
Well, who knows? Because, first of all, you know, Dolan's, he's got Cablevision in his back pocket. Newsday is owned by Cablevision. I mean, we're not going to see much. I think it's more of a statement that, first of all, you know, Madison Square Garden, and I'm sure you'll agree with me. I mean, this is like watching the Al Jazeera network. I mean, they have no contradictory views towards any move that Glenn Sather has made or Ranger players. There's no criticism. There's no dialogue. And it's guys like you and people like you that call the show that say, hey, listen, I'm fed up with this and I'm fed up with that. You could never get that on MSG. And I think this is more of a statement that, through the social media, you know, Facebook and the new media, that people can organize. Yeah, it could be me and four other guys there eating Sbarro's pizza. I mean, it could turn out like that. But it's just a statement. You know, I think it Like I told Mike, I said it's either going to be a debacle or it's going to be really good. So, you know, hopefully you get a couple hundred guys. Some guy shows up, you know, from Fios and films us, and, you know, you see a couple crazy Ranger fans. No, I don't think it's going to get him fired. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
You know, you made a great point with Isaiah. He basically had to commit murder in order to get thrown out. So,
exactly.
I mean, you know. So, but we, yeah, you make good points, and I hope it works. That's all I'm hoping.
Me too. You know, I'm just a little worried. Maybe it's a little too late, too. I mean, during Olympic break, I think it was the last Ranger game, February 14th. I know permits are hard to get early, but, I mean, you know what I'm saying, though?
Right, right. Well, we appreciate the call, and, and hopefully I will see you there.
Yeah, you will. You have a great night.
So you
okay,
too.
You take care, my friend.
Call us again, all right, Tommy?
Will do. Have a good night, guys.
Take care, my friend.
We are just bursting with phone calls here. Should I just keep them rolling here?
Keep them rolling. Fire away.
917-690. You're on Blue Shirt Banner Radio with Jim and Eddie. Who is this?
Hey, how are you?
Hello.
Hello? Who's this?
Hey, it's Anne Marie. How are you?
Hi, Anne Marie. How are you?
Good, good. Just a couple of points. Number one, the rally. There's a Ranger game before that rally, so you're going to get at least 18,000 people there in front of the Garden, possibly. If you really think of it, because the fans start trickling in around 5, 6 o'clock.
Right. That's a good point.
Yes. So and I think this rally is going to be bigger than what they think it's going to be.
Now, are you going to go to this rally, Anne-Marie?
I'm there. I am there. I definitely am.
All right.
Yes. Absolutely. I've been waiting for this for a long, long, long time. So,
now, besides the obvious, I guess, what are your pet peeves about Glenn Sather? She hung up.
She hung up. She's
all right, okay.
I don't know what happened.
Move on.
Amory, if you're listening, I don't know what happened, by all means, call us back. I have two calls here with unknown numbers. Let's see who they are. This might be a Skype call. I don't know. You're on Blue Shirt Beta Radio with Jim and Eddie. Who's this?
Hello?
Hello?
Yes.
Hello?
Hi, who's
this?
Hello? Hi, this is Margaret Hurley from Friend of Mitch.
Oh, Day. Margaret Hurley.
Yeah.
So what's your take on this?
Hi, Margaret. How are you? Welcome to the program.
Hey, how you doing? I support Mike wholeheartedly. However, I hope he's cautious and has representation by an attorney so he doesn't have any repercussions from the organization. I think what he's doing is commendable. It's nice to see, being an oldster, how this is kind of like Vietnam War rallies that we used to have when we were in college, you know, anti-war rallies. So I wholeheartedly support him. The only issue I have is, like, during the Revolution, you know, we started fighting the British, but we had to declare a Declaration of Independence, a redress of grievances. Is he going to have any type of plan or outline a plan to say how things could be made better? I understand his point is just to express the fan base dissatisfaction with Sather, and that's commendable. But without offering some type of positive redress of grievances, I don't think it really is going to do anything. Not that anything is going to happen anyway, because I think the powers that be, just as Malth was saying, have too much power.
Well, yeah, and I don't think Mike Zippo needs to have a 5-point plan to fix the Rangers, Margaret. I just think it's about getting the fans together and saying we've had enough, and that's, you know, that's what rallies and revolutions and are all about. It's a grassroots effort, and you know, he's just trying to speak up for Ranger fans that are tired, and he just wants to say we've had enough.
And we are all tired. And the other thing, the other point that I'm going to make, and I'll be really quick, I'll try to be quick, with regard to how people feel about this, you know, rally probably won't result in Sather's immediate firing, but it might embarrass him and the organization enough for him to say, well, you know, maybe it is time for me to retire or leave gently. And that point, what's going to happen, and my idea, because I saw at the beginning of the season, I saw Messier come down from the Geico suite followed closely by Mike Keenan, and of course the light bulb went over my head, said, what the hell is Mike Keenan doing here? And then I realized, well, now Messier is going to be an assistant general manager or VP, whatever the hell title he has, and Keenan's right behind him. Gee, you don't have to be a weatherman to know which way the wind blows, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So,
yeah.
And if that's the case...
Quoting then, Bob Dylan, ladies and gentlemen.
And if that's the case, isn't that just perpetuating the current situation to have Mark Messier become the general manager and see, and Keenan the coach and have, you know, the all-powerful Oz Sather above their head whispering suggestions? I mean, I want the guy gone. I don't want him here anymore. I want that whole regime, the whole 94 dog and pony show out of my face. That's how I feel.
Margaret, me and you are of like minds on this subject. They need to bring in totally new blood and just totally drop that 1994 association, every one of them.
Yeah,
and
that's
just,
it.
And
but
start,
who?
And start anew.
Do you think that Dolan has a modicum of intelligence to figure
no.
that out? And if even if he did, how would you? What would you try to do? Would you try to kidnap Ken Holland and Jim Devolano and bring them here with Steve Yzerman?
I don't know. Anybody,
right.
A circus monkey could do better than say that. That's how long.
You take
all
care,
right,
guys.
Thanks for
good
calling,
show.
Margaret. We're going to take some other calls. Have a good night.
Take
Thank
care,
you.
Margaret.
Good night.
Okay. Let's take another call here. Let's see who this is. 111, another Skype or unknown number. You're on Blue Shirt Banner Radio with Jim and Eddie. Who is this?
Hello?
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 Yes, who is this?
This is Paul. Eddie, do you sell
Hello,
any
Paul,
Dennis
how
Potvin?
Are you?
Do you send it, sell any Dennis Potvin cards?
This is Paul, a gentleman I met at the VFW. He's a season ticket holder. Him and his son, Michael, or Michael's a diehard Avery fan, and Paul, like I said before, a big Eddie Johnstone fan. What do you feel about this rally, Paul? And perhaps give me a take on what's wrong with the Rangers if you have that much time on your hand.
Do you have 4 days and we can obviously, Eddie, you know, I told you I'm not a big Tortorella guy. You know, I mean, I know he has the cup with, you know, the win down in Tampa in 04, but I think I was telling you that day, the guy in 10 years of coaching, other than that year, has won one playoff series. And I'm not trying to say it was luck in 04 that they won, believe me, but he had some very good teams down in Tampa, and you're telling me you can't, in the early to mid-2000s, can't squeeze out some more playoff wins if you're such a great elite coach? You know, I think we talked about it too Sunday. I just want to know, the players that were here last year and are playing this year, why is no one improved under Tortorella? And this is more for all the pro-Tortorella people that continually, I don't know, there's some sort of love fest with him, even with all the troubles we've had through 55 all right. games. And, you know, when Rennie left, everybody said, oh, it's good. Tortorella's coming in. And some of the young guys, the upside they have, he's going to bring out the best in them. Well, you know what? Most of them have regressed, not progressed. And I really think he's a major problem with the team. His personality, his demeanor. We notice, I mean, I think it's pretty much an open secret on why no one in the media has touched on this, besides I'm sure Larry Brooks is just foaming at the mouth, but... obviously, there's a lot of internal issues with this team in the dressing room. And whether it's young, old, there's definitely something wrong. For a coach who is so, what word am I looking for, Tortorella, fiery, you know, shows emotion,
right.
A lot of passion, how does your team, night after night, come out so flat? You know, if you... can't score goals, that's one thing. But how do you come out and just show no emotion night after night? And Eddie, I hate to say, you know, a lot of people may jump on me, but of course the team can't score goals. We're not good. But really, the team is not that bad, though, to be in the position that it's in. I'm not saying we should be up challenging, you know, Washington or even the Devils for that matter, but like earlier you said, this Eastern Conference is weak. and how we're out of a playoff spot now is just mind-boggling. I mean, is it me? Am I looking at it a different way? Someone help me here.
Well, me and you have talked at length about this, so I want to get Jim's take on what you said. And Jim, this is Paul, and Paul, this is Jim, and
Jim.
That's all I'm going to say.
Hi, Paul. We appreciate you calling in. I just want to, before we're about to actually stop streaming live here, so I just want to thank everybody that called in. We had an incredible amount of callers tonight. We appreciate you guys all listening to us. We're about to go to the podcast, so you can listen in there, you know, later on when it goes to archive. Or if you want to call in and just listen, you know, we can put you on the switchboard. You can listen to the rest of the podcast. This number 646-478-4692. And we will see you back here next Tuesday night at 8 o'clock. And, again, thanks, guys, for listening. You bring up great points, Paul. And, you know, we were saying them earlier in the show. We've been saying them for what feels like months now. You know, a disciplinarian style of coach. And he's got a team that plays undisciplined, and he's fiery, and this team does not reflect his personality at all. You know, we expected coming into this season, you know, the up-tempo, the safe as death. And, you know, like Eddie said many times, it was supposed to be safe as death, and most of the time it's just death.
Yes.
I mean, that's one of the great quotes about this team. And there's no rhyme or reason for a lot of the things that are going on with this team. I mean, the seventh defenseman, the fact that they can't score, the fact that they didn't have a veteran goaltender as a backup.
And that's still may bite them down the road, I'm telling you. I mean,
Eddie said it just, you know, a little while ago. It's not just one problem that this team's got. It's a laundry list. I mean, you could run, you know, if you got hired tonight, Paul, as the GM of the Rangers, and you went in tomorrow and you gathered your brain trust in the room and said, okay, let's make a list of what's wrong, you'd need 2 pages. I mean, you know, you couldn't write it on a Post-it note. I mean, you know, you got no seventh defenseman. You got no veteran backup goaltender. You don't, from my point of view, you don't have enough veteran leadership on this team. You don't have enough. You don't have enough guys that play dirty hockey. You know, who go get the dirty goals and dig in the corners and work hard every night. It's a long list.
You know, Jim. You guys made a great point earlier about with Tortorella and Mike Sullivan, why there is not another coach on that bench. I sit opposite the bench. I sit up at a 300, so I actually watch the game like how it's seen on TV. And the line changes are just atrocious night in and night out. And how they haven't been called for more penalties. I'll give you another example. I'll never forget, it was the game before Christmas Eve. They played Florida. They played shorthanded about 2 minutes into the game for 15 seconds. And no one picked up on it. I watched the Rangers in 60 when I got home. And, I, you know, it was the start of the game for a few minutes. No one they were shorthanded for a good 10 to 15 seconds, 2 minutes into the game. I mean, you know, you're coaching in the NHL. How do you not know that you're short a play on the ice? It's just mind-boggling. Like you said, the laundry list that we could make.
And, you know, I completely forgot to mention this. And I have a couple of callers on the switchboard that I was going to bring in, and because I'm sure they're still there and listening, but the switchboard has quit on me here. Right now, it's showing that I'm not even logged in. So I apologize to Mandar and John and anybody else that's on the switchboard. I hope you can still hear us. But I forgot to mention this the other night when I was at the Rangers game in Phoenix. And I was watching, there was at one point when it was still 3-0, and I looked down at the bench, and Tortorella was screaming at the team. He's screaming at them. And then he just stopped, and he just threw his hands up, like, I don't know what else, I'm lost. I don't know what else to do. And he just stopped talking. I've never seen anything like that. He was screaming, ranting and raving at him, trying to get them going, and then he just threw his hands up and just kind of walked down the bench.
See, you know what it is, too? Tortorella, I think Eddie had said it before, too. He's very stubborn, And, I mean, not that I was a big Rennie guy, but I remember a few times Rennie games sort of at the end, you know, they got blown. I remember one time, I think it was down in Florida, either Florida or Tampa Bay, he had the wrong line out at the end, and I think they scored a tying goal, and it went to a shootout, and Henrik was upset, and Rennie said, "That's my fault. This team deserves a better coaching effort." You would never, ever, ever hear Tortorella say that, like last night with the five forwards on the ice for the power play. I mean, it's just, you know, I mean, that wasn't the time, or, you know, like, I saw it on a blog today. Someone said it perfectly. You know, you're on the road, you're not scoring goals, it's a 0-0 game, and he's experimenting with five forwards on the ice. I mean,
right.
You know,
I mean, it's ridiculous.
Time's running out. I mean, the Olympic break is coming. We come back in early March, and, you know, I mean, it's great. Ranger fans are very positive. But I'm trying to tell people, everyone's saying, well, we're going to get better. We're going to turn it on. We're going to make a trade. But all these teams that are trying to get into the playoffs, too, are they just going to, like, lay down and die because the Rangers want to get into the playoffs? I don't know. You know what, guys? As far as Tortorella, maybe it's me, but I just cannot believe how bad the Dubinsky, Callahan, Staal, all these young guys that were here last year, they regressed this year under Tortorella. There's got to be a major issue, and that's been a scuttlebutt around the garden now. I'm a season ticket holder. I was telling Eddie 21 years, and the scuttlebutt back in early December was there was a problem, like a disconnect with a certain faction on the team with Tortorella, and now it's more after the new year, it's becoming more known around the garden that there's definitely a serious problem. And, you know, Tortorella misses the playoffs, let's say, you know, what happens, you know, because Sather's in a tough spot because to Sather fire another coach then, or with all the younger players coming up,
I mean, how many coaches does he get to hire? I mean, how many is he on now? Six?
Yeah, and Jim, believe me, Sather too. I mean, I'm on board. He's got to go. I mean, I'm not, you know, I'm unloading on Tortorella too, but I mean, I know Sather's the guy at the top. I mean, he's run this franchise into the ground the last 10 years. I mean, for a guy who, you know, and I'm doing like a quote with the resume he has from years ago with Edmonton. I mean, the past 20 years, his track record has been pretty poor. You know, even the last 8 or 9 years, he was up in Edmonton. And then, of course, we know the track record here that he's been with the Rangers, you know, the last 10 years. But I just don't know. And I just don't know. And the accountability part with Tortorella, you know, you touched on it earlier, too. You know, the Leesons, the Voros, Avery, and then other guys, you know, just seeing no matter how many mistakes they make or what they do, they play night after night. And, you know, whether that's Tortorella or whether he's being told by Sather, you know, these are the big contracts, the Drury, Roosevelt, Redden, I don't know. I just don't know, but it's been very frustrating for us season ticket holders.
Oh, yeah.
Year after year, and I'll tell you, probably while the Olympics are going on, by late February, we're going to be getting our playoff vouchers. They're going to want money for the playoff tickets. And what do? Not send money in? Because if they get in, and for some reason, if they get lucky and go a couple rounds, you want to be there. You want to be part of it. So, you know, we're between a rock and a hard place.
Well,
I'll agree on it. I'm sorry, just one quick thing, Jim.
Okay.
This year, though, and I heard you talking about a caller earlier, there have been a lot of empty seats this year. And the Pittsburgh game last week at the Garden, I mean, it's usually a big draw. You know, Crosby, Malkin, Miro up in 303. I have two end seats. Six straight seats were vacant next to me, two in back of me, two in front of me. And you could see, you know, all around the Garden, you know, pockets of empty seats. And you know, whether it's the economy or the team or a combination of both, but, I mean, they have to see that attendance is down this year. You know, no matter how many sellouts they say they have, the seats are empty. You know, I think the people are just, you know, like I said, after 10 years of, say, the ticket prices going up, you know, we're between a rock and a hard place. In fact, I told Eddie I'm in a battle right now because I had an issue with my tenure as a season ticket holder. They took it away from me. So, you know, as far as with the Sather rally, I have to be very careful, you know, because I feel they're very vindictive. behind the scenes, and don't think they're not monitoring this. You know, I can tell you right now they probably are, you know, looking for names that they recognize. So, but thanks for letting me vent.
No, don't worry. Listen,
that's why we're here. That's why we're here.
That's why we're here. Paul, let me ask you this question. I asked it earlier to several callers. Do you now? I guess it's a yes or no answer. I mean, you could add something to it. But do you see this team making the playoffs at right now?
Eddie, No. I've been saying no, but I said, you know what? They're going to squeeze in like the last few years. They'll get in seventh, eighth, you know, sort of, I think, more hoping. But now, like you're telling me, yes and no? No, they're not getting in. And it's just what I said a few minutes ago. There's going to be more teams that, for whatever reason, have more of a hunger and desire to get into the seventh and eighth seed than the Rangers. You know, why the last 25 games, all of a sudden, it's going to change compared to what we've seen the first 55 games with this team? With not scoring, coming out, no passion, no one being aggressive. The defense is, you know, really soft. You know, they really aren't a physical defense at all. But
they don't win. That's the thing. They don't win. The Rangers don't win. I don't know how everybody keeps saying their conference is weak. They don't win any games. I mean, you look about that streak that they had. Yeah, they throw the overtime ties in it. When did the Rangers win five in a row and look good for five games consecutive or four games consecutive or three games consecutive? They don't win. How are you going to make the playoffs if you don't win?
No, yeah, right. Yeah, absolutely right.
I mean, until they start winning and showing us, the Ranger fans, that they've got some kind of pride and they want it, I can't back the team. I can't back the team and say, oh, we'll squeak in. Everybody else stinks. Because like you brought up, those other teams like Montreal, somewhere down the line, they're going to get hot. And the Rangers don't get hot. They don't get hot.
Boston has just died right now. But you don't think Boston is going to somehow turn around, you know, whether they fire Claude Julien or that, you know, I don't know. But, you know, they've lost seven or eight straight games. But you just know there's going to be a point where they're just going to turn it. And I'm not saying that they're going to be so hot, but they're just going to start to win games. And they're right, I think, either they're, I think maybe we're a point ahead of them or by wins or whatever. But, you know, I mean, if they get on a roll again and stop the losing streak, you know, I mean, that's what happens. It's a couple teams that are going to go on a good roll. We're not. And that's why we are going to be looking on April 12th or whenever the season ends. We're going to be looking out in early season, I guess, the golf course.
Yeah, I mean, I hope they turn it around. We all hope they turn it around. I'm just saying right now, you know, people get on me and say, no, you're being negative. I'm just telling you what I see. I mean, last night, you stayed up late to watch that game. After that buzzer ended, you say, we're making the playoffs. Great effort, guys. I said to myself, Gavrik is the only one who scores, and if he doesn't score, nobody scores. That's it. End of story. That's the end of it. I see, you know. And
I mean, are you guys pro Tortorella? I mean, do you think he's doing a great job, that the team is that bad? I mean, I'm not trying to say we're good, but I just can't believe we're played as poor as we are.
Right.
And like I said, some of the guys from last year that we thought were going to thrive under Tortorella, the younger guys, to me, they regressed this year. There's no identity. They just don't know what their role is.
I'm half and half on it. I think Tortorella is responsible for a lot of, I mean, I think it's stubbornness, and he's almost psychopathic about his stubbornness, which bothers the heck out of me. But there are a lot of things I think he does wrong. I think I don't know how you have a fiery coach and a listless team. That's a disconnect I can't figure out. The second thing is the players are ultimately responsible at what happens on the ice. When they get on the ice, you don't play because if you don't, now, you got to take some kind of pride. Now, I don't know if the Rangers just don't have the skill. Maybe they have it, but this goes back to a quote by someone who I thought was a great quote. You know, everybody says, well, the Rangers just have a bunch of third liners. And I'm like, yeah, but we don't even have a good third line. You know, I don't know if they don't have the horses, they don't have the mules, whatever you want to say. I think it's a little bit of both. But I also think my problem with Tortorella is you preached all this stuff in the beginning of the season, how it was going to be safe as death, we're going to go at it my way, and then he pulled back in the middle when it wasn't working. And right now, I think we're stuck somewhere in between, and I agree. I think he's lost several players on this team in the interim, and things aren't good. And we don't know. We're not privy to what's not good, but, Jim, I really, where do you stand as far as Tortorella?
He was the guy I wanted. I thought he was the right man for the job. I thought he should have gotten the job before he went to Tampa Bay. But he's losing the team and he's losing me along the way at this point. Too many things that go on with this team just have me scratching my head. And we've talked about this before. There doesn't seem to be a plan. There's no plan. I don't know how else to put it. I don't see, consistency, no cohesiveness. We talked about this before, the Artem Anisimov on the first line. Two games, that doesn't work, scrap it. And I think he's one of the hardest working guys on the team. He's part of the future of this team, and it seems like some nights he plays 6 minutes. I think he's being wasted. It's like they try something for 5 minutes, and if it doesn't work, they scrap it. We can't, that didn't work. Try something else.
But then on the other hand, they stick with things that don't work too long. That's a
right.
serious
exactly. Well, that's what I mean.
There.
It's just I don't get it. I don't get how players, so many players. I mean, there's at least three or four, at least, and I think I'm being generous. There's at least three or four players that have underachieved for 4 months, and there's been very little repercussions. He benched Roosevelt for a period or two periods. He benched Redden for two games. He dropped Drury to the fourth line for about a half hour. I mean, it's just – I don't know how many times I could say I don't get it, but I don't get it.
Why do you think they haven't – remove the C from Drury? And I know it's a tough, especially in mid-season.
Such a bad message. Mid-season,
leadership's a big problem, too, in that dressing room, obviously. It's got to be.
Yeah, Chris Drury is a hot-button issue on our site all the time, and you mentioned the name Chris Drury. And it's like, it's like Democrats and Republicans. People just go crazy. One side, he does these things. He's a penalty killer. He'll drop his face and block a shot, blah, blah, blah. And then you got the other side that says, he's terrible. He doesn't score. He doesn't do this. And I understand the guy was never he's never a 80, 90-point guy. But, he's a 20-goal guy, but he's not even a 20-goal guy anymore, And I just don't see him as a captain, and we've had this discussion as well. I want to see somebody get mad and scream at the team and, blow a gasket, and I don't see that from him either. And, he can be all this quiet leadership BS, and Paul, I'm like Tortorella. I just throw my hands up at them sometimes.
Yeah, it's like I said, it's just, it's tough, and there's still a lot of people that are on the Tortorella train that just keep saying this team is so bad. But I'm looking at this year, but I just look at his career. People keep saying the cup. I know he won a cup down there, all right? He had a very good team. He had a very good team for several years down there. But I just look outside of 2004, if he is such a great coach, how can he only have one playoff series win other than 2004? And last year, the shenanigans he pulled here, which I still feel cost us the series against Washington. It was a distraction. I don't care what anyone says. I mean, that's unheard of, a coach, trying to hit a fan with a stick in the middle of a playoff series But yet he had no trouble benching Avery and going after Avery for becoming unglued. But John Duncan,
right,
there's no problem with it.
The game that he benched Avery, that was probably the worst game of the whole series that they played. I mean, they were completely lifeless in that game.
They were terrible in that game.
We
have a lot of questions. We don't have a lot of answers. And as far as Tortorella goes and his past, yeah, I think you're right. And my focus with Tortorella, and we spoke about this a little, Paul, when we met, is that my problem, if the Rangers were losing and I saw some progression with the younger players, and I saw that he was a nurturer of the younger players for the future. So let's face it, when you're handicapped with a Redden and a Roosevelt and a Drury, it's tough to win, okay? Mm-hmm. But if he was a nurturer and was bringing the young guys along and being prudent and being thoughtful and being having some kind of strategy with them rather than just throw them on the ice and let them learn. And he's not doing that. He's terrible with the young players. And I wouldn't say terrible, but he's lacking. And he didn't have to deal with that in Tampa Bay. And to me, that's my point. I didn't think the Rangers were going to win the Stanley Cup this year. I don't think many Ranger fans did. But we want to see kind of an evolution, and what we have seen is a de-evolution of the younger guys, like you pointed out right at the top of your call.
Things are tough. Things are tough in Ranger Land, and we can't hope for the Olympic break to come quick enough next week.
That's right.
But, you know, you guys hit another nail on the head earlier. After the break, you got to wonder what kind of shape Henrik's going to be in, physically and mentally, you know, if Sweden goes far in the Olympics. You know, that's something else we have to worry about. Gabrick is playing, and injury. I mean, I'm not to get on that, but I'm just not a big fan of the plays, you know, with the Olympic, the NHL plays playing in it. But you know, that's it. That's the way it is. But I just worry after the break that Henrik, maybe the first week or two, maybe still be on a high. But I just hope as we go through the month when we need to win games, he doesn't wear down. And I'm sorry, he's looked okay, but if Chad Johnson had to step in and game out, would you want him carrying our playoff hopes into April?
No.
No.
Resounding.
Oh. All right, Paul. Well, listen, thanks for joining us. I hope you'll keep listening. I gotta go.
Okay, Jim. Nice meeting you. Eddie,
yes.
I think you're making an appearance next week at the Garden.
Yes, I will be.
Okay, I'll be in touch before then. Okay, Eddie.
Okay, take care, my friend.
To you too.
All right.
Great show, guys. Thank you.
Thank you. Good night,
bye-bye,
guys.